You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the finale of Big Brother 23. My name is Mike Bloom, here to bring you the conclusion of 85 days of BB23. Oof. Now, of course, you cannot spell BB without B&B, and I would not be here if it weren't for the person who was oofing on the line here with me. It's just you and I today, Liana Boris, keeping it amongst family today on the B&B.
We did it, Joe. We did it, Mike. We survived.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are, the end of Big Brother 23. And, you know, the last time we came on was right. It was right after the cookout had made the final six. Mm-hmm. You know, it's odd. I would say that this season could really be divided into thirds. Like, the first third was on crack. Specifically, Frenchie brought crack into the house and everyone smoked it for a little bit. The second third was sort of like a slow roll downhill, but still like some excitement to it. And then the third act went back to crack. Like, somehow crack came back into the house. As the cookout falls apart, we get disappointment, we get frustration, we get anger, we get surprise, we get head shaking nonsense. But then we also end with like a resounding okay as everything settles. So there's a lot to talk about here, Liana, even though it feels like it took forever for us to get through these past 3 weeks. Still a surprising amount happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kept thinking, I was like, we're going to be recording soon, right? We're going to be recording soon. Just because there was so much still to cover with the cookout falling apart, and we got that second double eviction, which feels like a million years ago, but like, remember when there was a second double eviction?
And they actually didn't screw it up this time, which is good.
They didn't reveal it to anybody. Yeah, exactly. We got Kylan's exit from the house, which was just absolutely B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-S. And then Derek F. just like completely alienating Azza towards the end, where Azza then wants to take X. Like, it's actually, when you go and you list out all of the insanity that happened during this last sort of phase of the game, it really is quite a bit. And ultimately, we get our first Black winner of, you know, non-celebrity Survivor Big Brother, and it's just it's so interesting to look back and see the phases of the game and sort of how everything progressed. Like, there is no way, when Frenchie's reign was going on, that this is how I thought the season would end. Absolutely no way.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think after that point we'd all thought, oh man, what a super exciting season, there's a really fun cast. Now, I would still call this cast fun and engaging, but I think up until literally the penultimate week, we really had not been on that level of just pure chaos and like unbridled energy up until that point. And look, we had to get through some swamp to get to this grass, right? We went through what I talked about on the slop with Rob as one of the worst double eviction episodes I have ever seen, just from a pure frustration perspective. The fact that it took, you know, 2 hours and we still didn't see very vital conversations that weren't mentioned until the next show. It just like reeked entirely. And I'm not going to say, okay, because of how Big Brother 23 ended, we should continue to plot things out where we essentially turn from the hare to the tortoise at the end of the race and just slowly making our way down the path. But it does create arguably some of the more exciting moments, but it also comes from the absolute, I'll say, ineptitude of a good majority of these people, specifically in the cookout, that ends up producing what I think is a very good guy and like a pretty good player, but also I would say probably one of the most fortunate Big Brother winners I have seen in quite some time.
Wait, what do you mean by fortunate? You're saying because of the actions of the people around him, like not because of his own.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah, and there's things like obviously, and I think Taryn went through this a lot in his game breakdown, but the idea of obviously, you know, the idea of the cookout helped keep him safe. There was the King's team that helped keep him safe, but like basically all the times that Xavier had presented himself as a target because of the way he was presenting himself at certain points in time, there was a cookout member to be able to shield him from that perspective. And he even touted, and I talked about it in my exit interview with him, that he accomplished this rare feat of never needing to approach anyone to make a deal in this season.
Yeah, that's
literally
wild.
Every single deal and alliance that was made from, you know, from the cookout all the way down to his final two with Derek F, and of course Kyland, they all approached him. And maybe there's like a je ne sais quoi about him. Maybe we're sniffing something much like Kyland that is in absolutely entrancing the nostrils to want to work with him. But I just find it absolutely fascinating. And maybe it's just also because I think in our reality TV winners, we assume a lot of activity, especially in a game like Big Brother that is so long. But I think it is a good reminder, and this is the first time in a while we've experienced this, that passivity is also a very key quality to have in a game, especially like Big Brother, where you are going for up for 3 months at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's interesting, especially because hearing X articulate his game at the end and hearing him kind of talk about it on all of these post game interviews. He says, I did this. And I'm like, yes, but these people did, like Tiffany did all of these other things. Hannah did all of these other things. I mean, Kyland, for what it's worth, did all of these other things. And I kind of want to be like, your logic is not invalid. And I think of the final three, I'm happy with X being ultimately the winner, but obviously you can point to all these other people and these other circumstances that led to X being there at the end. I mean, that being said, like he still had some agency, you know, he ended up in a strong team of the Kings, but yeah, he had the cookout to protect him. And that was, you know, the whole master plan obviously started by Tiffany. I think I saw a clip of him. It was an interview with X with the winner's circle, Derek Levasseur, Calafiore podcast. And Derek said,
oh, I like how you hyphenated their names like they're married.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, the Levasseur Calafiores. You can get that monogrammed. You're welcome. And Derek says something like, yeah, like you'll learn. Tiffany did so much. And I just like got excited because I want him to hear the full story about what happened. Not to invalidate what he did again, but just like to recognize the power that some of the other players had. And the fact that Tiffany went home with the AFP win, like that just really makes my heart warm.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I know that probably the most frustrating part of Xavier's game was especially that 1 week that Tiffany ends up going, right, where he and Derek F by proxy are really gassed up on like the selfishness, the pure audacity of Tiffany to win that HOH. It just left like a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And I will say, I think, you know, of the people to win the game, Xavier is one of the better people, I would say, especially in a recent memory, I think, to do so. Like, I really admire his efforts to do things like shut people down, even his closest allies, when, you know, when Derek F is calling people bitches, Xavier shuts that down. Even when Derek F decides to call Tiffany an angry black woman, Xavier shuts it down. So at least, like, he is a contestant who, while he might have an inflated sense of ego about himself, which again is understandable, I think, given the game of Big Brother, where you're supposed to pump yourself up in every occasion, like, and reality TV people being the way they are, I think it makes sense as to why he has that perspective about himself. It wasn't very fun to watch, especially knowing what we know about Tiffany, who is not a perfect player, but I think certainly was regarded as completely unvaluable to some members of the cookout from a certain perspective. Was not very fun to watch, but I do admit that, like, from, you know, that final four onwards, he probably became the rooting interest, just maybe due to the rest of the field. And sometimes that happens on reality TV as well. You know, I wouldn't say this, I call it a lump, but you kind of got to take them as well. Not every reality TV season is going to end with, quote unquote, the best player taking it at the end. Sometimes the narrative is, you know, the person who laid low the best is able to make a pop at the end. Or in this case, someone who was just so magnetic that everyone was drawn to him, even people nonsensically saying, well, I've got to beat the best and therefore I will abandon all my other deals to work with this other person. Sometimes that just happens. It's the JT effect. And yeah, that's what Xavier is right now. I keep mixing up Survivor and Big Brother because we have an Xavier and we have a Xander. And I swear when I've been writing stuff up, I have mixed up their names at least a dozen times in the past 24 hours.
Oh, my God. I keep swapping the Z and the X on, like, all my notes. So Xavier has become Xavier and Xander has become X Xander. Like, it's just, it's a mess. That's why they should, again, another reason why they shouldn't overlap. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I totally hear what you're saying. I'm actually remembering one of my favorite Kylan moment, or obviously not Kylan moments, X moments, was actually when Kylan was trying to defend JK Rowling. And I think X was just like, no. Like, yeah. He just, like, wasn't even.
Yeah, I think
it.
He literally said, like, we're not doing this, which,
yeah, we're just
like, I think, again, I think as a person, he's awesome. He also has to deal, I think, with a really interesting amount of baggage, which unfortunately gets drudged up during that Kylan moment, right? The fact that he lost his brother such a short time ago, coming in feeling like he has to do this to help, you know, support his nephew. I can't imagine the emotional burden that brought. Granted, he wasn't exactly Brian Heidick the entire time, but I think relatively compared to a lot of other people, specifically the other two people he was sitting with at the final three, his ability to maintain cool, calm, and collected in that house, I do really admire.
Right. And I think from a viewer's perspective of watching just the episodes, I think, and I didn't look deep in the casuals corner for various notable reasons. But I would feel like, yeah, okay, I feel good about an X win. I would feel like he was present enough in the strategy. He, you know, didn't do anything too crazy. I think I would feel good about it. I think it's just because knowing all the stuff from the feeds and, you know, the downplaying of the contributions that a lot of the women made to the cookout, I think that kind of sours me a little bit on X and why I felt myself kind of turning a little bit to being like, I know he should probably win based on the way things are going versus, you know, a big D win, obviously. But it's just like, I guess it's fine. I'm fine. I feel ultimately okay about X winning. I think that, you know, Puya got to win the draft, which makes our household happy ultimately.
It's the nice scales being balanced considering what the other side of that draft looks like with Survivor 41.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, at least you can have this. And I think he drafted Big D also. So he, like, drafted the final two and then drafted the first two boots from Survivor.
Oh my God, that really is like mirror images of each other.
It's like truly poetic.
Yeah. So what did you think about this stretch in particular? Because again, what I will say is, please, producers, do not look at this and say, okay, we need to make sure that we keep the final four as one whole week and the final three as one whole week. I feel like I come on literally every finale podcast we do and say this, but, like, we have to restructure the finale. Yes. We need to put part three of the final HOH and the jury questioning on a Sunday night episode. I did not need two recap episodes in a row as the anti-penultimate and penultimate episodes of Big Brother 23. What are you doing?
Is that what it's called? Anti-penultimate?
Yep.
Oh, I learned something before new
that,
today. And
before that is uncle penultimate.
And then cousin penultimate.
Exactly. So I believe the cousin penultimate episode was probably the double eviction, I suppose.
Yes. Of course. Okay. So 1000%. When you even said 85 days, I was like, really? It felt like 99. It felt like one of the long seasons just because the stretch at the end feels too long. And then the last three episodes being like the recap of the recap, then essentially the first part of the final HOH.
Yeah, plus then, like a version of back in the Australian Outback finale in Survivor where they like painted little totems and like reflected back on their game. I feel like that's what Julie Chen Munoz was doing with the final three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely felt like that. And then to have the 2-hour finale, you just don't have time to process it. And I will say though, I felt like the way that they did it, if they refuse to change from the live questions, the live, you know, kind of like semi reunion before they read the winner, if they are going to stick to that, I actually did think that this finale did its job in an okay way. But if they restructured it to give more time for people to like give their answers, to have the jury questions, like have it more like the Survivor long form, more back and forth, more interactions. We'll come up with three different categories for Big Brother. It's like, yes, this is the expect category. This is the unexpected category.
The category.
Yeah. I don't know. It's always just such a foregone conclusion of who's going to win when you get to the end. And I want to see more interaction and I want to see more of that. And I wanted to take more time with the players. And I just really wish we had that.
I agree. And I think as well, though, I don't know, I do wonder if we gave Big D somehow more time to answer these questions, it would have been even worse, which I guess also makes it even better for us. So really, I guess pick your poison in that regard.
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of true, because the way that the jury laughed at him, that Hannah was having to just stifle her laugh, was like, oh my God, this is so bad. This is worse than Enzo.
I was literally about to say that, because at least with Enzo, right, there was a little bit of everyone was like, oh, Enzo, you're so great. And Enzo unfortunately took it the wrong way to be like, why are they laughing at me, yo? Big D, I think, was trying to like turn on that sassy side, for lack of a better term. And people were straight up mocking him to his face. Basically, every time he claimed that, you know, oh, I had all these plans that were mine that I executed every time, it produced uproarious laughter. It's like, you know, it's like the producers, right, when they're trying to make Springtime for Hitler and it ends up becoming a surprise smash because it's like the comedic hit of the century. Big D is Springtime for Hitler.
Oh, 100%. That's how it felt. And it's so, I mean, he's shown over these past few weeks to just be so delusional when it comes to his contributions to the game. And it was like watching him walk in to the lion's den almost. And he was doing his best, but it was just like, bro, you do not stand a chance in here. Man, I would have felt bad for him, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, when a question to you is like, are you just here for the followers? You know, you're not in for a good jury questioning.
Oh my God. Yeah. It just reminds me of all the Survivor, jury questions where there's like clearly that third person that no one's going to vote for, you know, the Troyzan of it all, where it's just like, but this was very obvious because there's only two.
Big D literally said after Azza was evicted, give me my second place and my 75,000. I'm good. Like, I think even he knew the writing was all over those walls, as it is in Big Brother.
I hope so. Because, there was no way. There was absolutely no way. But look, you know, you still get $75,000, which compared to $0, you know, I'd take it.
Yeah. Plus, maybe he pocketed some BB bucks as well.
Yeah. Well, I think didn't DX still have all of his BB bucks?
Yeah. Is that transferable? Can you like convert that at a counter or something on your way out the door?
I don't know what the conversion rate is. It's probably, you know, one BB buck is equal to 0.000001 cent, but still, you could try.
You could have some pocket change for the bus ride home. I will say though, the reaction to Big D in the finale, and also I would say like once the keys are in the box and everyone fumbles over their words, when everyone is just like chilling and talking to the pre-jury and then like the segment of the secrets being revealed again, I get reminded of like these flashes that I got pre-season all the way back in early July of, oh, this is a really fun cast. Like, yeah. I actually do think once the dust is settled, you know, I don't think everyone's going to be best friends coming out of this, specifically once people find out some of the things that were said about them in the house. But I do think in general, this seems like a very amiable, game hungry, friendly group. Like, I do not think there's anyone here that genuinely hates each other's guts. And some people might feel like that's to the detriment of the season because outside of that Kylan stuff, we really didn't have much quote unquote drama. But I, to your point, and maybe it was because of the lack of a studio audience, I actually really like the energy that the jury was bringing. Like they were positively loopy.
Okay, I now that you say that, maybe that's why I responded so well to this finale, because it did feel like the cast, they were laughing, they were joking. When they saw the pre-jurors, they were all like, oh, woo, they were having a great time. You know, I mean, apart from Kylan being a B-Wad, it felt like everybody else was just, you know, interacting and laughing and supportive. And when everybody was telling their secrets, they were all just like, what? Or like, oh, or like, wow. And that type of genuine emotion and just super positive overall, supportive. That's just always really, really fun to see. And again, even the pre-jurors, and maybe it was because we didn't speak to everyone, but they were also seemed really supportive and happy. And it just, it kind of warmed my heart. What a sweet cast. Oh my God. And Big D, when he, after the secrets part, when he was leaning over,
yeah,
like yelling at, he was like, I said you were a lot. I was almost on the ground laughing.
Hilarious. Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, this is how you're, this is the quote unquote social game, right? This is how you're, yeah, that comedic tour de force. I love that. I also really did like, again, that also speaks to, I think, a very gamey cast is like, and again, you don't necessarily need to do this, but I do like the fact that so many people had secrets. Though, Big Brother, if we have Hannah being a secret master's degree student, we have Sarah Beth being a secret forensic scientist, we have Xavier being a secret lawyer, and we have Brenda being a secret third degree black belt. One of these things is not like the other.
I thought it was the part that I was okay with her, with Brittany's reveal being there, was when she said she was like something, something champion of something. I was like, okay, that, then maybe. Because otherwise it's just like, and I, oh, and the secret you didn't know about me is I have 13 half finished crochet projects in my closet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, on occasion I like to ride a unicycle. It's like, oh, that's the big secret. But I think it was very fun overall. And maybe, like you said, if we're talking about Kylan's B-Wad behavior over the past week, I think what also was very fun was everyone's response to the B-Wad behavior, which was to shut it down. Right, like, yeah. I loved him trying to come in and be like, well, the thing about Big D is, and they're like, no, 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 stop this. You are not propagandaing this man right now. We won't have it. We're not going to vote for him. Don't even try to make. And I can imagine even Kylan's like, yeah, I guess I won't vote for him now.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When I, okay. So a few thoughts. One, in the jury roundtable, when he compared Big D and Chada, and everyone was just like, no. we refuse to accept this. That made my heart warm. And then it was like, Kylan, the audacity. And then when he said that thing, when he was voting, what was it about there are kids watching at home?
Hey, kids watching at home, just remember there's some things are more important than money.
Yeah. At first I was outraged. And then I was like, he's just doing a Jeff Probst Rebus puzzle, obviously. Ooh. So he's just trying to talk to the kids at home about, remember, there's more than money. You get to play in Kylan's very own Rebus puzzles.
No, because Kylan's Rebus puzzle is going to be like, instead of it being a box, it's going to like go all the way down to the floor of the challenge, right? Being, okay, well, the thing about it, is it worth playing for? What does playing actually mean? I don't think we should play. Like just going on and on with all these little symbols.
Yeah, it was, oh my gosh, that would be so funny. I mean, they kind of went in on him with, not kind of, they went in on him with the podcast, like talking thing or whatever it was during the questions. What was it? I don't remember.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
what it was
so
called.
His thing was, it was a Kai spoken word thing. And they said, yes, he'll give you every single word. And so, yeah, they really, if it hasn't become clear at this point, maybe the nail in the coffin, perhaps, was Kylan saying, hey, please bring me back on national television, which, look, I sort of admire him for, right? Like, she can't say no on live TV. You could say expect the unexpected, but they can't flat out reject you on national television. So of all the venues to choose to do so, I suppose this might be the one.
Is it the equivalent of asking someone to marry you while you're on the Jumbotron at a sporting event?
Oh, yeah, I think there's same that energy. Idea of pressure, right? Same exact energy. Or like getting, it's basically like the Kiss Cam, but for Big Brother, right?
Yeah, the
All-Stars Cam.
Now I'm just imagining during the Kylan interview, all of a sudden that song like dun 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 dun, dun like starts playing, and someone like shoots a, you know, t-shirt into like where Kylan's standing.
Oh, why do we have that for an endurance challenge? Like, why didn't Big Dick Johnson come out and start shooting t-shirts? Why do you have to be dressed up like a chicken?
Ooh, that's actually a great idea. They need to do something with those cannons that shoot t-shirts. Maybe, oh, they kind of did one with, was it on BB20 where they had to catch those weird squid things with a cannon?
Oh, didn't the cannon? Yeah, they had to catch the, like, the squids that were sliding around, the one that I think Casey beat Fessy on.
Yes, and they did the slow motion editing and it was hilarious. They should bring that challenge back.
Yeah, I wonder how many of these things have gotten scrapped due to COVID. Like, R.I.P. Oh. R.I.P. Slip and Slide, right? We haven't yet to see that come back since BB21.
It's interesting because I would assume it was a goo thing, but it's not a goo thing because just a goo thing because they did that with the wall comp. They shot
yeah,
goo
the whale,
them,
the
so.
Whale. I mean, listen, a whale of a time if or whatever it was called, because we heard it so many times over the course of this finale. They were very proud of that name.
Yeah, they were like, look, we will write questions about a whale of a time because this is the best pun we've
a whale
come
of
up
a time,
years.
AKA the goo thing.
The goo thing. Oh, man. Yeah. No, I had fun. I'm happy it's over. This is a historic season, I think.
I would say it had more of a pop at the end than we thought it would, especially yes. after that double eviction where Tiffany and Shada go out. We're like, OK, we know what's happening here. So let's just get through it. Now we have 2 weeks. I still don't think we needed 2 weeks. I will still always push for the final 4 week can literally be one episode. It has been for a good portion of Big Brother history, but we got some interesting stuff out of this that I didn't think we would. I don't know if this is what people were saying when they said, just wait until it gets down to the cookout. That's when it gets interesting, but it did get interesting.
Yeah, it got interesting. I would say that the Kylan eviction night is, I mean, that's just pure reality TV art, you know? Yeah. Like, I feel like we so rarely get those types of moments in modern reality television. And it was nice to, like, Kylan's behavior, despicable. Reality TV, gold. All right, so, you know.
That's
like,
the thing, is that it was reality, though, for lack of a better term. Like, it felt... For a cast that I think very understandably so is very socially media conscious. And that's another reason behind the cookout, right? It's like, okay, this is the movement. This is the moment. Mm-hmm. Let's make this thing happen. Very conscious about what they say on the live feeds to get that moment of, like you mentioned, unbridled emotion behind what was happening. It was intense to watch. And I can absolutely understand why people think it was ugly, because I think from a certain perspective, it absolutely was. But it did feel like one of those moments where everyone was gripping their armrests for the first time in the season.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that was the thing. So Puya and I, we were like, oh, you know, it's, we got to watch the Masked. Okay. Cause the whole thing was like the Masked Singer was on at the same time. Cause it was a Thursday episode.
They did a two night premiere.
Yes. And we wanted to record the Masked Singer podcast that night. So I was like, okay, well, then we have to watch it live. We're just going to have to skip Big Brother. Okay, fine. But then it's like, oh, but Kylan's going to get blindsided. Like, what if he has a crazy reaction? So Puya has it up on his phone and we're watching Masked Singer. But as soon as like that, the eviction actually happened when Big D said Kylan, I missed anything that may have been happening on the Masked Singer. Like, it just completely fixated on what was going on with Kylan, because watching that, like watching him process everything in real time was amazing.
It was frightening. I mean, I, uh, don't know. I think a lot of people are saying, understandably so, that when Kylan goes to grab his water bottle and Julie goes, Kylan, that she partially increased her volume knob because she thought that there was a chance Kylan was just going to like charge on Xavier. And I give, again, all the kudos to Xavier in the world, considering everything that he's gone through, to have this dude tell him basically like, yeah, you can't live up to the legacy of, you know, your dead brother and these people to live up to you. How dare you? You are no Goku, sir. It's just, it's silly and despicable at the same time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like for sure screwed, like completely screwed up. And no one should ever, ever, ever be saying those things. And the fact that he already had that in his brain, like that was what I was trying to tell Puyo. I was like, look, I don't even know how he thought those things. My brain would never even go there. It was just, oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, Kylan learned a lot about Kylan this summer, so I'll leave it at that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Well, speaking of Kylan, let's get into talking about him and some of his cohorts. We are not out of the woods yet because, Liana, we have to do our final batch of preseason predictions for the entirety of the cookout. This is a big one. We've got six people to go through. Of course, we wrote out our preseason predictions. Now we also have an additional bit of information for comparison's sake, because we actually now have BB Comics from this season to compare to, which I would say across the board were incredibly shitty.
Oh man. Yeah. I'm not saying that my ideas were better, but
the thing is, I guarantee we gave so much more thought than these people did in production. And to be clear, we gave minimal thought.
Yeah. 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 The like Claire's, for example,
Claire Bear.
That's about as much effort as I put into any of mine. It's just like, oh, this is a word that rhymes. Nailed it.
That's the thing, is that what I found, especially this time, was, you know, like, oh, Highlander sounds like Kylander. And I wonder, is it a matter of because there weren't as many punishments, or because like there weren't as many wacky things going on in the house, that there weren't a lot of comic names, you know, to match that? Was it that the people's personalities were like not as outrageous as previous seasons, that there was not as much to make fun of?
Okay, but see, okay, so yes, and I think that when there's those types of things, that's what makes a great comic. However, when you have a comic like Sarah Breath, where did that even come from? I guess because Sarah Beth is like Sarah Breath, and that's it, right? Like, nothing related to her as a person, as far as I'm concerned, unless there's something I missed on feeds.
Right, but then you have things like The Wizard of Ozza, right? And it's like, I mean, I guess I also don't know what you necessarily go off of with Ozza. You know, Travis, they had to make a surfing cow, and I don't think he even surfs.
He's like from Hawaii though. Doesn't
Yeah, but that's like the thing with Tyler, right? When they're like, oh yeah, Tyler's the lifeguard, he's a surfer. He's like, no, I bowl, dude. It's like surfing on the greased lanes.
Yeah. Oceana Hannah was
I don't like that one. I don't like really creating her image with a clam. Like that just feels so euphemistic to me, especially when she said serving up some hot clam. I'm like, she's 21, sirs. Okay.
Let
her live her life. Do not say this 21-year-old person is serving you up some hot clam right now. Do you realize how perverse the internet is? How much serving up that hot clam is going to be squirreled away in these doggy bags and taken home by the Big Brother community to do God knows what with those clam bits? How dare you, Big Brother?
Oh my gosh, the fan fiction about to be creamy.
Oh god. All right, well, let's get into our comic book predictions, as well as our overall predictions about this cast. And we start with actually how we finish the finale, finding out the identity of this season's America's Favorite Player, the one, the only Tiffany Mitchell. Now, let me put something out there, because I'm assuming it's going to apply to you too, Liana. Mm. I'll be frank. People have said it before, but I will be blunt. Tiffany gave us next to nothing in the preseason. She herself will admit to that. I think for her, it was trying to not come across a certain way that maybe would be perceived as stereotypical to her race and her gender. But I think, unfortunately, her bio and her interviews had her cards very close to the vest. So I think it's very safe to say we're going to be very off the mark on these predictions. I certainly did not expect her to be the power player nor the character that she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think my prediction, although I did have her making jury, definitely does not reflect the person that we ultimately got to know, because I said for Tiffany, she has a lot of connections, but they were loose, a lack of strong bonds, like smack myself in the face, considering she's the one like the most connected to everybody with tight bonds. All right. We're talking gold bond, tight bond level here. I said that she would be the first boot at jury as the house consensus boot, doesn't win any vetoes, but is always drawn for veto. Example, Tyler. And then I said, and I, oh my God, she will start a fire in the kitchen.
Oh, you were so close, Liana. How did you predict a fire in the kitchen, but predicted the wrong people?
I know. I was so mad when I read that, because at first I read it, I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, man, it was Azza. Like, gosh darn it. All right, fine. I said her closest ally would be Derek F. And I said for her comic book name, The Blood Drawer. She draws blood. So
yes, but drawer. Drawer. Yeah. Okay. I thought you went with the blood drawer.
No, I did. No. You're correct. I did say the blood drawer as in a dresser, because I wrote like drawer, like blood drawer, but she's a dresser / drawer.
So in your weird Beauty and the Beast fantasy, a cupboard has come to life, a wardrobe, and it's this phlebotomist that's out for blood.
That is the pun I went with. Yes, that it is like blood drawer, but drawer.
I guess, is it a triple entendre?
God, I have no idea. And then I don't know exactly how it works. Like, is it like the Beauty and the Beast where it's the dresser? It's kind of like hopping around being like, I'm here to take your blood, but not as like a vampire, just like as actually a phlebotomist. Yeah. Or is it filled with blood? I don't know. I didn't.
Oh, that'd be out. Like, you know, it's, I would say get out of here. Shining elevator doors opening. Yeah. Give me drawers full of blood. That's the scarier thing, in my opinion.
Yes, that is actually quite terrifying.
I can't put my shirts away. The drawers are filled with blood.
Oh, what will I do? And there's not enough hangers.
Oh, yeah, that's the ultimate horror story.
Mm.
All right, American Horror Story. It's a blood drawer.
You're welcome for the idea.
All right, so my superhero name was actually in a very similar vein, quite literally, but we'll get to that. So I also had Tiffany making the jury. I said that she would form the, quote, mom squad with Whitney. I really banked on, like, her and Whitney being close. I said that she would get the first costume of the season, which would bring out her personality. She ends up becoming collateral damage during a double eviction.
Okay.
And she becomes obsessed with keeping the house clean at all times. No, Tiffany. Don't take Big D's one resume point away from him, please.
Yeah, no. Oh, my gosh. You mean apart from the I tried resume point as well.
And I quit cigarettes after 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the whole like Whitney relationship, the mom squad, I feel like we didn't really see a lot of discussion of parents, whereas, you know, we've seen that in the past where it's like Derek Levasseur talking about his kids, blah, 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 talking about his kids. You know, we got a lot of shout outs for Christian, but I think that was all it, really.
Yeah. I think it also doesn't help that Frenchie and Whitney also went out pre-jury, right? True. And Frenchie and Whitney did make a bond over being parents, but that existed again, like the first month of the game. her superhero name for me, I also went with the phlebotomist name, is Vein Drain. And her catchphrase is type, oh no.
Okay, that's actually really good. I like that one, especially because it's like brain drain, right? But yep. Then the type, oh no, that's funny.
Thank you.
I'm trying to think of another one. Type B positive, but that's like the positive version.
Yeah,
like
unless she really is a hero in that regard, like incredibly motivational.
Truly. Yeah, truly.
Or like I'll taking you all the way to the blood bank.
I'd like to donate you to the Red Cross.
Oh boy, now we're just getting mean.
I don't know. That's all I know.
All right. Yeah. So let's get into Chada here. I'll start because I had very high prospects for Chada. I had her making the finale. I actually had her finishing in second place. I said that she would make a final two deal in week two, which is honored until the very end. I guess I copied that from what ends up happening with Big T and Xavier. As a former personal stylist, she'll have the cutest looks. She floats through the first half of the game as everyone underestimates her due to her age. And she is the most tearful in her goodbye messages, but it doesn't endear her to the jury. And her superhero name is Hannah Banana, parentheses, she's quite appealing.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like, she's bonkers. I don't know why.
She's mentally unwell.
Banana. All right. I think that's actually quite good. The only thing that I could disagree with is or that I think didn't ultimately come true is the tearfulness, because I felt like Hannah had the most cutthroat in general.
She had one of the best goodbye messages of the season, right? When she bid a fond farewell to Brent in Airplane Talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was so good. Yeah, with the motions and stuff. Ugh, beautiful. Yeah, I felt really good about Hannah, too. I actually had her making the final two. Finale.
Oh, my gosh, so put her in the same place.
Yeah. And I said that mine's a little bit further off, but I said she would become everyone's little sister. So that would be the relationship she would have with everyone in the house. I said that she has the knowledge of the game, but doesn't have the social experience to execute her good ideas. Ends up being seen by others as a goat, despite her attempts to be taken seriously. But she becomes a fave of the internet because of her level of fandom. And then I wrote and I think this is from her preseason stuff, that her fave moment was Austin being blindsided without his shoes. And I said that her closest ally would be Sarah, which, by the way, all my predictions just write Sarah. And I'm like, who is Sarah?
Oh, well, right. Because Sarah until literally the premiere, we didn't get anything from Sarah Breath. Got nary a wisp of air from her.
Yeah, so it's like, I got to go back, write SV on everything. Close Alley of Sarah Beth. And then for her comic book name, I had like three different ideas.
Oh, okay.
I have Chada Ole.
Like Cafe Ole?
Yes. They're all coffee themed, by the way. Chada Chino and Chada Tado, which is then in parentheses, I wrote like Cortado. Chada Tado.
Liana. Chida was right there.
Okay, but see, you're expecting me to do the level of work that the producers put into Cowabunga or whatever it was. So I can't do that.
Chada Tato.
Chada Tato. If there's even I wrote a little hyphen in between. It's Chada hyphen Tato.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever had one of those in my life.
Oh gosh, I think she must have said that she likes coffee or something, which is where that came from. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess the one thing you did predict was that her last name would be a pertinence, right? Even Julie Chen Movitz is like Chada, aka Hannah. She always wants to shoehorn that in.
Oh my God. Every time Julie was like, Chada, Hannah, Chada, Chada, Hannah, Hannah, Chada. I just wanted to slap Julie in the face, like, Julie, shut up. Just stop.
It's like
talking.
Everyone is captive at her she's the Michael Scott boss, right? Like trying to do characters and bits, and everyone's like, we work here, so we have to go along with this. We can't speak up against it. There's no HR.
Like, nod and smile and just be like, yes. And Hannah's just like, that's me. I'm Hannah Chana, Chana Hannah, Hannah Chana. That's who I am. That's who I be. Okay, yes. So, okay, Kylan. Let's talk about Kylan.
Yes, let's talk about Mr. 5 Million Movies himself, Kylan.
Yes. Okay. I'm super excited for this one. I did say he would make the jury. I said he will talk too much, just like way too much. I mean, did you see his bio?
Oh, you're so right.
Oh my God. So happy about that. And then I said he will be the high and mighty one in the house, will backstab others, but will be upset when people backstab him. He will think he's running the game a la Memphis, but really it's just a pawn in Xavier's game. I said that his closest ally was Xavier, and I said his comic book name would be Lord Loquacious.
Ooh, look at this $10 word, $750,000 word being brought.
I know. I think I was like, I must have Googled synonyms talk a lot.
I mean, listen, considering that was the final impression from him, like, I think you were on the nose there. Less on the nose is me. Bring down the curtains, people.
Oh, no.
I have a complaint to measure here.
Oh,
Kylan
no.
Young was my winner pick for BB23.
Oh, no! That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think despite the verbosity and look, who am I to demolish a glass house with a stone if I call him, like, too long-winded? I thought that he had a pretty good set of, you know, head on his shoulders. I thought he had the people skills. He had the management skills. Seemed like he was athletic enough. And to be fair, for like the first 2/3 of the season, he was in a pretty good position to win the game and validate that winner pick. Not so much near the end, especially. But I said that Kylan would be the consummate, quote, friendly guy who's capable of being absolutely cutthroat. I said that he would come up with the biggest moves that somehow end up paying off because he hates being realistic. Oh, I forgot about that, right? Didn't he say something about in his bio about how he hates things that are realistic?
Yes, that was, I think, was that his motto or something?
Something like that.
Or it didn't even
bracelet.
Oh, no.
He says, my bracelet that says unrealistic when asked, like, what three things would you bring into the house? I have not taken it off since I got it 5 years ago because it reminds me of the motto I mentioned in the previous question. Being realistic is the most commonly traveled route to mediocrity. No wonder this dude complains to companies about everything, considering that getting a response is pretty unrealistic, but he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He's like, McDonald's charged me an extra dollar for this egg, and I am upset.
I said the movie luxury challenges come back just for him. Look, I am saying that we did have a movie luxury challenge for the first time in a little while, and Kylan was there. I'm not saying anything besides that. I'm just mentioning it. I said that he doesn't reveal his job until the final two, which clinches the win. Whoops, wrong guy. He gets targeted in the end game, but he keeps winning comps to prevent anyone from evicting him. And his superhero name is Kai-Dai. And he's dressed up like a hippie.
Of course, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's not that far off. And I think if you had asked me even 2/3 of the way through the season, I would have been like, yeah, Tiffany, Kylan, and X would have been my sort of like three people who I thought would win the season. So, and you're not alone with the high hopes of him going into this. But yeah. All right.
It's interesting. It's especially the way that he goes out. I honestly think he might be regarded as one of the like most disliked players in I mean, it's something actually that's a very low bar. I should probably not put him there, but certainly the most disliked person from this cast. Like even the like Frenchy stink has kind of wafted away. Derek F, of course, was a pile of trash, but like got his comeuppance a little bit. Kylan just really sullied his image over the course of an incredibly gripping but awkward 2-minute piece.
Right. And I think that's kind of part of it, is that it was a little bit of the fall from grace component that really just made it all the more intense. Because I remember that first week when Kylan got put up on the block, and it was like, what the hell? Like, what did Kylan do? And you're rooting for him. And then he gets HOH, and it's like, oh my God, finally someone is going to, you know, set the house straight and like get things in order. And then all the Kai complaint stuff started happening. And then it was just slowly this fall of like, oh my God. God, who is this man?
Yeah, exactly. It was this idea of, oh, he looks like a legitimate contender. He's doing some really, you know, cool stuff. I mean, I guess I was right on the friendly guy who has the capacity for evil when he was able to essentially like incept Sarah Beth into not nominating Xavier due to just batting her down with his monologues. That's another thing. Maybe I should have gone with like the Kygina monologues or something.
Oh my God.
I don't think think they would allow that on TV. I think they stop at Hot Clam.
Yeah, I think so. I think unfortunately the female reproductive system is like not fit for television quite yet.
Are you telling me Big Brother production doesn't know their way around the female reproductive system? How dare you, Liana?
I know. Look, it's the censors, all right? Just blame the censors.
All right, well, let's get to our final three come finale night. Let's go to our third placer here, our bronze medalist, and she will rock that bronze because I think she was one of the best dressed of the entire season. Let's talk about Azza. So I did not have particularly high hopes for Azza. I had Azza going pre-jury. I said that she gets overheard plotting to get rid of the week one HOH in week two, which puts her in danger. I said that she has the longest shout outs on eviction night because she decides to include most of her family. Because remember, she's the one that has 300 cousins or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said that she would have the major slow-mo wipeout during a competition, which I can't remember. Who was that for OTEV? Do we know?
Definitely Big D, because it was when he slid log, I think. That's what I would say.
Her closest ally was Claire, and her superhero name was Miss A to Za, parentheses, she'll read you like a book.
Oh, and then they should have the, you know how Amazon has the little arrow that points from A to Z? They should have that from like A to Z. I guess it would only be one letter over, but still.
I embarrassingly only learned about that recently, that in the Amazon logo, the arrow is pointing from the A to the Z.
I think I remember seeing that once on the internet, and then my mind was blown. And then the next time I saw it, I was like, yeah, obviously, despite never having recognized it myself. Like,
good. I'm glad you didn't gaslight yourself into believing this was the first time you saw that fact.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, I said that Azza would make the jury. I said that she likes to watch the drama, but will not want to participate on it in any fights, but may instigate a few. I said, much like her life motto, she gives up too much of her personal game for others, volunteering to go on the block, using the veto on the person sitting next to her, throwing all the challenges, etc. And then I wrote her life motto, you haven't started living until you've started living for others.
Yeah, and she actually said that to me in her exit, in my exit interview with her today. We're recording this the day after the finale, and she's like, oh yeah, once I realized that, I thought, oh yeah, I should, you know, be helping people get what they want.
Oh, Azza. This is why my mom loves Azza so much. She was just like, I hope Azza gets a modeling contract out of this. She's just so pretty.
Well, and to be fair, Azza also had, and look, I'm not going to say it was deserved, but, you know, she did put herself in a pretty bad situation at the final five in that double eviction. But yeah, Azza got just shit on the past 2 weeks in this game by her closest ally. Yeah. I do feel pretty pity for her the last couple of weeks specifically.
Same. That must just, I can't imagine, especially going through, it's your teammate, you've been with them from the beginning, and then just hearing how they completely discount your game, I'd just be like, are you kidding me right now? Oh my God, I would have been so mad. Unfortunately for Azza, though, I did say she would be a boring boot in a double eviction, so at least that didn't happen. And I said her closest ally would be Kylan, and her comic book name would be the Showmance Killer.
Oh,
coming for Frenchie's gig, I guess.
I suppose so. And she was close with Frenchie. So maybe it's like, you know, how the title of Robin passed over when people retire or die. Maybe she took it from when Frenchie fell.
Yeah, right. I mean, again, on the same team. So maybe that.
Oh, yeah.
Sense.
I forgot about that. I'm reading her bio right now, and I forgot that she wrote in all caps, no showmances. Do middle school crushes count as showmances?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, she specified that it was not a showmance. It was, in fact, a middle school crush. So I think because of that, she's in the clear.
All right. So if you like infantilize the attraction you have to people, it's not a showmance.
Yeah, obviously. So, you know, I think that that's the loophole to get around saying.
Yeah.
You have to
get on base to become a showmance. Azza has not made her way out of the dugout right now. She's just shoving back some big league chew.
Right. OK, let's talk about Derek F. OK, I had him making the jury. I said that he would be friendly, personable, and just too much of a threat to win as a jury fave. So he's got to go.
Oh, my God.
He would be taken out in back-to-back weeks with the other Derek, two sides of the same Derek coin. Again, the second time I've read that, still don't know what that means. I said that he would fall asleep in the shower.
Oh!
Yeah. His closest ally would be Tiffany, and I said that his comic book name would be Sleepin' D. Frazier, parentheses, like Smokin' Joe Frazier, which is kind of close. They had him like really Z, right?
Yeah, Big Z, the perfect snorm, I think is what they called him. I'm glad they moved on from Zingbot razzing him about going to the bathroom to now him just being asleep the entire time.
Which is fine, because that actually makes sense. I remember one night when I was doing the morning update, and I just watched him either lay on the daybed, and then for a brief, maybe 30 minutes, he moved to the eviction chairs and then back to the daybed. That was Big D's routine.
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, relatable from a certain perspective. There's only so many places you can go in this house.
I mean, that was also me during all of quarantine.
Exactly.
Like, to be fair.
Very 2020 mood. All right. Here's what I had to say about Big D.
Oh, no.
So I also had him making the jury. Here's verbatim what I wrote for Big D. People are going to be positively eating up his DRs. He will have a surprising number of competition wins under his belt by the time he's evicted. He will be the last member of his alliance, kept around because they like him so much. He reveals his dad instantly, which impresses him to some of the more athletic people in the house. He has a fight while wearing sunglasses the entire time. I'm not sure why I wrote that. I guess he said that he doesn't like to go anywhere without his sunglasses. His closest ally is Xavier. Okay. And his comic book name is Da Wrecking Ball.
Okay, I love this. I think you're shooting at about, what, a 20% success rate? Which for baseball...
That's generous.
You got Xavier, I guess.
I got Xavier. Maybe, I forget if he was wearing sunglasses when he was talking with Tiffany in the storage room. But other than that, literally the opposite of every single point I made happen, including the very last thing he does in the Big Brother house is reveal his dad. Not the first.
Yeah, I think it was, that one and the comp wins. I think those are the two that really
And also that he was kept around because everyone liked him so much.
Oh, they just loved him so much. I mean, obviously that was a common theme. I said he was so friendly and personable. He was just too much
of a threat. To be fair, like, people were obsessed with him preseason, right? There was that fun TikTok that went of him saying you don't get drunk during brunch. Like, we thought he was going to be a fun personality. And he thought he was, too. He talked to me in my exit interview about how I asked him flat out. I said, Big D, how did you play the greatest social game the game has ever seen? He explained it. Still don't understand it, but he explained it.
Well, that's the most important. At least you didn't laugh at him like the jury did while he was giving his answer.
Well, here's the problem. And I think it's what I've also realized about reality TV, because I think in like a post can't see Michelle Fitzgerald world, we like to talk about this sort of ubiquitous idea of the social game. And I think people equate a social game to just people liking you. Like, oh, we're gonna make games, we're gonna have fun little camp skits going on, that's my social game. When really, in my opinion, a social game is using your relationships to parlay into making moves, which again, I guess Big D is claiming. But the way he framed a social game to me was more so, I kept everyone distracted and kept the mood light so they weren't concentrating on making plots and moves. That's not really a social game. That's more so being a clown at a kid's birthday party.
Yeah, similar energies. I've seen this discussion a lot about what it actually means to have a social game, what it means to have a good social game. And I think it's okay. For me, having a good social game is, yes, having those relationships, but I think you also then have to turn those relationships into game capital. So whereas I separate it from the strategy side, because to me, having good strategy, like playing a good strategic game, is you came up with good strategic ideas, right? And you were, saw the game, you were able to position yourself in the right way. And yes, some of that hinges on the relationships, but they're both obviously are related. But the social game, again, like you have to take those relationships and turn them into some type of capital. Like I would say you could even have a good social game and have a bad strategic game if you use your social capital to make bad moves. Like I think that still counts as a good social game, because at least you were using your social relationships in a way that made the game move forward. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like, you can't just be friendly with everybody in the house at this point. I don't think that cuts it for me.
Yeah, I think that's what people maybe misunderstand about the concept, is that much like the floater coaster idea, whereas floater is completely like denigrated as the worst thing you could be in Big Brother when floating can be a viable strategy. It's almost the polar opposite with social game, where people are like, your social game must be immaculate. As long as people love you, you are going to win the game. When that's not necessarily the case, people might appreciate what you do around the house to keep them bored or keep them entertained when they're bored out of their minds. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean, given any sort of cast, they're going to say, yeah, I'll do what you want me to do. And that was exactly what happened with Big D, right? He had several things that he wanted to do, but because nobody took him seriously, they weren't able to do it. So from that perspective, he had a terrible social game.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why that's what I'm saying, like, because even if he had bad ideas, but was able to execute those ideas from his social game, like I would still give him credit for having a good social game. Then I would say you have a terrible strategic game, but at least you were able to do something instead of just having these close bonds. But then, yeah, not being able to do anything with them, right? Like, I know that he, all the things that he claimed in his final speech about being able to, yeah, to talk to people and come with ideas and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but really, what move did you orchestrate with the relationships that you had in the house? Like, I just remember you and Frenchie just like complaining the whole time. And that's like one of the strongest memories I have of Derek's a social game.
So I know it's also been bandied about a bit, specifically from Taryn, that in his opinion, Big D is one of the worst Big Brother players he has ever seen. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, sorry, there was a dog barking. I like shut the window. Okay, okay, all right. So yes, this concept of Big D being the worst player, because I think him and Rob kind of touched on it also during the finale, where Rob sort of challenged this concept of, well, but, you know, the Brent Champagnes of the world, the Frenchies of the world, right? Like those people, because they went out so early, I think you have to say that those people are worse, like worse players, right? I see both sides, because obviously the actions that Derek made in the game, he, especially towards the end with Azza, he's like shooting himself in the foot. He gave up someone who Azza, in her final interview with Julie, is like, yeah, I would have taken X. Like, yep. That was the person that you would have been the closest
who like 72 house. Hours beforehand was dead set on taking him. He was somehow able to talk his way out of things. I don't think even Abby Maria would be able to do that.
Like, how did you manage to do that? That's just, that takes truly a terrible player to be able to execute a move like that. That being said, Frenchie exploded his whole game so quickly that I feel the speed and efficiency to which he ruined his game has to count for something. Whereas, yes, maybe it took Big D a little bit more time to shoot himself in the foot. I don't know. I just, with Frenchie in the same season, when I compare the two, I know Big D is a bad player, and that's not for me up for debate. It's just Frenchie was worse, man.
Yeah, I would say that Big D, I'll sort of like put an asterisk on it. I think Big D played one of the worst end games I've ever seen in Big Brother history. Just because he was never in power, and then every moment that he was, he somehow fumbled the ball. You know, he somehow made a decision that was against his best interest. And it cannot be stated enough. He was guaranteed second place going into that final week and was somehow able to just, due to pestering the ever-loving crap out of his closest ally, for some reason continually telling her to her face, like, you don't deserve to be here. I'm the only reason why you're here. When there was still one more round to go, to convince your best friend in the house to vote you out is an unseen concept. There are the Drew and Dianes and the John and Nettas of the world who cut their number ones for game-related reasons. To have your closest ally cut you for personal reasons, that is horrendous. And so I guess the caveat I would say is I think Derek Frazier is the worst player to make it to the jury phase of the game. And so I guess put him up there with like Fessy, you know, Raven, like Matt Klein, some of these random people who made it into the late game to the season. I do agree that I think there should be a special category reserved for Frenchies, for like the Jacobs from Big Brother 9, which Peridium has always said is the worst Big Brother player in his opinion. But I think there should be like a special thing reserved for what Big D was able to pull off here and just completely... The example I put out on Twitter is that if this was the final leg of a relay race, you have Xavier out in a comfortable lead, you have Azza like running, you know, a little bit behind, like a pretty far ways behind, able to get a little bit of speed at the end, but sees something going on with Big D, you know, to her left that distracts her and she loses her footing, and Big D just chucks his baton into the stand. Doesn't even remotely run the race whatsoever. And so I have to put him in that category.
Oh my gosh. That just reminds me of someone took a still from the first part of the HOH competition. And it was Xavier like on the rocket thing, whatever, the little like tubey thing. And Big D is just laying down in the back. It was so funny and just such a perfect encapsulation, similar to the throwing the baton. Because that at least, it's not just passive. Like we talked about active versus passive. This is active terrible gameplay, not just passive terrible gameplay.
All right. Well, speaking of Xavier, let's get to the Rocket Straddler himself. I'll start here because if you've been paying attention all season, you might know where Liana put Xavier. I had high hopes for Xavier, like a lot of people did preseason. I said that he would make the jury. I said that he would absolutely rule the game pre-jury. But one night, everyone will start comparing notes while he's sleeping and realize what he's doing. I guess it did predict that he would go to sleep early. I would say that he's a surprising source of comedy in the DR, which I do think is actually true. I think that Xavier was actually pretty good at delivering a lot of these stupid sound bites that they give them. And he gets his game hampered by a big twist. His closest ally was, of course, Derek F. His comic book name was Attorney X, like Professor X.
Oh, yes. Okay. I see. I mean, to be honest, if the cookout didn't exist, that for sure is Xavier's path, I feel like, right? Because that was, he was like part of the Kings, strong player, strong team. You know, how do you not sort of compare notes to want to go after a guy like that? He just seems so, like such a strong player. So that's really interesting. For me, I had him as my winner pick.
Wow. Yay. So this is... I think this is a first for our Big Brother coverage and maybe for our coverage in general. Have you ever correctly predicted a winner before in these?
Ooh, I would like to think I would remember so I could pat myself on my own back, but I don't think so. I don't know. I can't remember.
I only had it once. Our very first season, I predicted that Ben would win Survivor 35, but I've been off every single time since then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I remember that. Oh my God. I was so mad at you because I had Chrissy, I think. Anyway, whatever. I finally get my win. All right. So I had X as my winner. I said that he would have an ability to stay calm under pressure. Cool lawyer, man. I don't know what that means. He would collect all the allies and pit them against each other so he can say nicely.
Collect all the allies like a Pokemon?
gotta catch them all. ding, ding, ding. Okay, this I don't understand. He would collect all the allies, pit them against each other, but then he would win 4 HOHs. What?
Wow.
Yeah. Then I said he would give a very lawyer-esque final speech. We're going to see shots of the jury rolling their eyes, and I think he's blown his win, but he hasn't, and he still wins.
Huh. Would you call his speech very lawyer-like?
So I remember thinking, oh, this is like the lawyer chops, but I felt it was very run-of-the-mill. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't notice anything unique about his final speeches.
I think it was fine. It was actually fairly generic. Like, I think him having to bring the team stuff up. I know that unlike Survivor, everyone was around for the pre-jury stage, but I also feel like not a lot of people necessarily care about the first month of the game unless it ties into your narrative. So that being said, look, he could have danced on some wet rocks naked and probably would have had a better speech than Big D. So I guess he ended up doing well here, but I wouldn't necessarily compare him to like Atticus Finch here.
I mean, this was like, what was it that Brittany Haynes said? It was, even if you put a ketchup bottle next to Dan, the ketchup bottle would have won.
Exactly.
Or something. So kind of a little bit of that going next to Big D. But he did fine. I mean, he's young. Which I always forget that he's 27 years old.
I know. So
if you do the math, he must just be a new practicing attorney, right? Like, it's got to be new, so maybe he doesn't have a whole lot of the experience yet, but anyway. All right I said his closest ally would be Derek X, and I said that his comic book name would be The Hunk Like the Hulk. The Hunk.
I mean, no matter what, it is better than The Explorer, which for my money might be the ugliest photo they have ever done of one of these house guests, where instead of teeth, I'm assuming they took some sort of horse dentures and shoved them into Xavier's mouth.
It's tough because he's such an attractive man. So to have that be the representation of him, obviously ridiculous. But I still think that nothing beats Tyler's from last season.
The
diabolical follicles. I'm looking at it now. Just, it's so bad. They're equally bad. The teeth is worth on X, though.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about, like, these relatively attractive males that are like, all right, gotta uggo this guy up.
It's no Memphis, but it's quite ugly.
All right, well, we still have one more piece of Big Brother news to get into. Now, not a lot has happened, I feel like, in the community since we last spoke. We did have the celebrity net fights too, but that barely involves any Big Brother people at this point, like a couple of returning people, but not a lot.
I'm trying to think of anything else. That's the one in Canada, right?
Yeah, so that's the one in Canada. Rob and I talked about this on The Slop a couple of weeks ago, but like, there are a couple of returning people, like Godfrey's coming back, Adam Pike's coming back. But the Big Brother representation, they have Pauly, they have Scotty from BB20 is going to box.
Oof. I'd like to watch that. Oh, yes, because Pauly Calafiore, sorry, the Scotty thing, hilarious, excited to watch. Pauly Calafiore, he's going against Ed, right? That guy who was on the circle and the challenge.
Yes, exactly. I think that's supposed to be their big heavyweight battle. That's a definitive step down from how they ended things last time, and even that was like stepping into a subway tunnel to begin with.
Oh yeah, for sure. But you best believe I'll be there with bells on.
Yes, come December, I'll be the perfect halfway point between now and Celebrity Big Brother 3.
Yes, it'll keep me going.
Well, actually, speaking of Celebrity Big Brother 3, let's bring this up really quick, because some floated out. Flotos grab a life vest. Photos floated out of a bunch of the season 22 cast partying in someone's house. There were some alumni there. We saw some JC, some anal lice, some Tommy, and one Todrick Hall. And I think people did some Nancy Drewing and figured out that the party was at Todrick Hall's house.
That wild. Like, when you, what? Like, did he just invite everybody over? Is he trying to do a favor for producers so they have him on Celebrity Big Brother? I don't even understand how this would come to fruition.
Yeah, so I guess that's the big question, because I know there was some stuff floating around. Like, I guess Chodrick had video chatted Cody at one point, Cody Calafiore Lavasser. You know, it seems like this dude is, my best guess is he's going to be on the newest season and he is studying up AF to try to, you know, figure out how to play this game to the best of his ability.
Oh, no. Also, I think you said Chodrick, and I'm obsessed with Chodrick Hall.
Oh, do you ship them? I think there might be one small issue with that, but
yeah, they might not be the best match for one another. Yeah. So, okay. So, okay, let me just say, I was hoping for a drag queen, and that person was not Chodrick Hall. No, like the man who doesn't pay his backup dancers,
yep,
who has awkward, scandalous tweets. Like, oh my God. He's going to be torn apart by the Big Brother community.
All you need to do is just look up Todrick Hall slavery work on Google. That's all you need to see.
Yeah, and that's just not getting into everything else about allegations and just a mess of a human. So, okay. But we'll see when that happens. February, as Julie told us. And we have some time to mentally prepare, or at least I will mentally prepare for the possibility of Todrick.
Yeah, for the possibility. I mean, the good news is that it'll only be a month. So, like, at the most, we're only getting, like, 28 days of Todrick Hall. Sounds like a bad Christmas movie.
Oh my. Would Polly Calafiore star in it?
Yeah, no, Cody.
Or Cody Calafiore. Cody. Yeah, get my Todrick, Calafiore.
You've
got to
deliver all these presents on Christmas.
Oh my gosh. And then that with the overlap with the butterfly that we saw from this week in Survivor. It's my Calafiore heavy week.
Yeah, who knew that butterflies were just dead relatives? Maybe that's why Polly was crying that entire time. Well, there is one thing that I want to bring up, Liana. And this is a fun cold read, because you have yet to read this interview. This only came out a few hours ago. One of the, I'm going to say highlights, not going to say lowlights, one of the lights in Big Brother 23 have been Dalton Ross's weekly chats with Julie Chen Moonves. And this week we saved, not going to say the burst, West best or worst, I'll say the burst. The burst was saved for last year. I'm going to read through some questions that was asked of Julie Chen Moonves, and I want to get your response here. So this first one's a little bit of a long-winded one. I'll sort of give the TLDR. Basically, Dalton asked, you know, how does Xander's win stack up from other winners from the past? Julie Chen Moonves says that the Big Brother Mount Rushmore should only consist of people that won unanimously. And so he said it is Dan Gheesling, Tamar Braxton, Cody, and now Xavier are the Mount Rushmore.
Ask any super fan. They'd give you the exact same list, Mike. I don't know why this is odd to you.
Well, I'm trying to, I do believe preseason, didn't like Julie Chen Moonves give a really weird version of, like, I think she left Dr. Will or Dan or someone off her Mount Rushmore. So she's just into creating odd versions of these statues.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you give her a set of rules and she's going to follow those.
All right. Let me get into the meaty stuff, though. All right. So there were five questions here. Let's get into question number two. Dalton asks, let's play a little game of Big Brother What If and pretend we had an Azza and Big D final two. Who do you think wins in that scenario? Julie replies, here would be my educated guess, or my uneducated guess, depending on how you look at it. My guess would be the following people would vote for Azza to win: Brittany, Derek X, Sarah Beth, Claire, Tiffany, Anna, and Xavier. I think Xavier would respect the game move on Azza's part if she ever evicted him. My guess is Big D could maybe get Alyssa's vote because of his strong social game. I also think he might have gotten Kylan's vote. Who knows? Only God does. Only he knows what's in people's hearts.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, it's a standard start, I would expect from Julie.
But the weird thing is, but Julie Chemung has answered a rhetorical question. Usually when you ask who knows, the answer is not with a person's name. It's meant to be who knows. That's the point of asking it is, well, yeah, nobody knows. Who knows? The answer is nobody. She says, who knows? Oh, only God knows. Just so you know.
She's just teeing herself up, you know, she's got to like set herself up for her own response. You're like, yeah, who knows? Oh, well, I know God knows. I'm like, wait, but if you know, does God know? But does God know you know? It's just all very confusing.
Question three. Azza seemed really shell-shocked in her interview with you after being evicted. What was your big takeaway sitting across from her in that studio? Julie Chemung responds, my takeaway is that Azza has a healthy fear of the Lord, and that's the first step towards true wisdom. She spoke about how she did what she could to glorify him in her actions and speech while playing this game, where lying and deception are both allowed. She acknowledged she failed in some areas of pleasing the Lord, parentheses, I believe she was referring to misleading Hannah on Double Eviction Night. What I felt as raw honesty on stage with me is what I think will take her far in life. She gets it that there is so much more to life than money and winning at all costs. She gets that God allowed her this opportunity to play BB and make it this far. She will now meditate and pray on it to lean into him and figure out what his purpose is for her life. I am a big Azza fan.
Yeah, Julie, we got that. Okay, so they have a lot in common then with Kyland also saying, you know, kids, there's more to life than money. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Julie gave him that line to say. That's hard to know where Azza begins and or where is it Azza stops and Julie begins. Like, Julie 100% could have made all of that up. I would have been like, yes. Azza could have also said part of that. And I would have been like, yes. It's okay, quite the answer from Julie here.
I mean, I think, listen, the full bloom part of me, favorite part by far, is that she acknowledged she failed in some areas of pleasing the Lord.
I mean, look, we can't all have the magical clam, so you gotta roll with what you got.
Listen, it's been a long day, very stressed at work. It's a very stressful game. I'm sorry I can't please the Lord every night.
Oh, in all the ways that she intended. See, that's what I'm confused. So wait, Azza said that she didn't please the Lord, or Julie is inferring that she didn't please the Lord?
I am not sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know where Azza, like, what did Azza say? This is all hearsay as far as I'm concerned. Like, what did Azza say? What did Julie say? I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of want now a response from Azza hearing this article to be like, wait, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that at all. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to defend yourself, Azza. When you hear this, like, what do you take from this?
All right. Question four. Even beyond the racial diversity of the cast, there was something different about this group of players who rarely took anything personally and seemed to genuinely enjoy and respect each other. Agreed. What was your big takeaway from this group? My big takeaway from this diverse group was that they showed America, we as a human race are more alike than different. If you can set aside personal selfish agendas, we really can do as God commands and the Bible says and love one another.
Love one another. But obviously, Julie, you just talked about how Azza did not satisfy the Lord. So maybe we can't do as God commands. Okay, we're just doing our best.
And listen, like all the respect in the world to religious people that are listening there, as long as you're not using your beliefs to persecute others, I am all for it. But for Julie Chemung in one succinct breath to say, this cast represents what is so diverse and beautiful about America. They all can believe God's rules. Like, it's just like a weird way to turn that thing.
Yeah, it is like Julie is just so stoked and she just wants to tell everybody. She's like, have you heard of the Lord? Like, all right,
I mean,
Julie,
that's essentially
gotcha.
What she is. She's being like a Jehovah's Witness, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm surprised she's not handing pamphlets out to people when Murray the stagehand takes them away.
Oh, yeah, Murray. Props to Murray. I just think that Julie is, you know what? She is unapologetically doing what she thinks is right. And as long as she's not harming people and we get these ridiculous answers from her, I can be entertained by it.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the last question, maybe perhaps one step too far. Give me your top three players you'd like to see come back and play again. This is ridiculous. God, God, and God, Julie, really?
Amen.
Exactly. That's what Big D said, right? Amen should be in the final.
No, I think it was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was actually her answer, but I didn't see the article.
Yeah, but it's just a wild way to end things. And the oddest thing about it is, like, there will be no repercussions for this, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, she knows that it is the last day of junior year of high school. She can't get detention. People are going to forget about it by the time Celebrity Big Brother comes back. So she's like, all right, let me put God in literally 4 out of 5 answers here.
Well, I think it was the whole separation of church and state that Julie just, like, didn't quite understand, because she was like, well, a Big Brother is not the state. So there, I guess I can inject all of my religious proselytism in here. Let's go.
It's interesting, though. The one thing that I neglected to mention was back in that first question about the Mount Rushmore of unanimous winners. She says, Xavier won by knowing when to lose and winning when he had to, and was liked and admired by all in the house. We should also mention here, in the headline says that basically Julie Chen Moonves implies that Xavier is the best player in Big Brother history. In addition to winning all 9 votes, not a single negative comment was made from any juror when it came time to insert the keys. If that's not proof of God and miracles, then what is?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Does that feel a little shady on Xavier's part? Like, well, it was a miracle that no one was mad at you for what you did.
There's so much to parse out here. Okay, so first of all, the fact that no one made a negative comment about him, specifically when they were putting the keys in the little voting block thing, like, Julie, that means nothing. People get up there and, I mean, maybe apart from Kylan, but, like, people get up there and just be like, oh, you both did so great.
Yeah, I mean, DX is a little shady, though, right? He quotes his bereaved war widow Travis and saying, if you're not here to play, why are you even here?
Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh, which reminds me of the round table when Derek X is like, the greatest thing I can say about, or the only good thing I can say about Big D is that he has the same name as me. Oh, shots fired. Okay, but anyway, back to God and miracles. I just feel like that's such an undercut to both God / miracles and Xavier to compare the two, because I'd be like, oh yeah, you turned water into wine, now that's a miracle. Xavier not getting any negative comments specifically at the block, like, one, does a disservice to Xavier's game, and also disservices miracles.
Yeah, it's just a strange idea on all levels. So that is our sign up for Julie Chen Moonves. Love one another. Good night.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's get into, we have a couple of games here. It's not a lot, but a couple of games here to round out this final session of the BB23 B&B. Mm-hmm. So there was some stuff coming from the jury house. I will again say that I really do love this jury. And I think it shows to the strength of this cast. Like, every time we went to the jury house, it was so much fun. Maybe it was the particular people or the way they were reacting to everything, but, like, they seemed genuinely jazzed to be there, which was really great. Every season recently, people might remember that they have the jurors create paintings. They do little arts and crafts sometimes. I believe that's when Big Meech painted Nicole as the snake back in the day. And so the jurors showed off their paintings recently. And I figured, Liana, this time around, we could do a version of a much beloved game on the B&B, Buffer Snuff, called Art or Fart, where we're going to go through each painting from a house guest, and you have to decide whether you art it, okay, it's to hang it in a museum or maybe in my bathroom, or fart it, get rid of it, worth the waste of canvas and paints.
Don't even bother coming back, kid.
Exactly.
Your art skills are trash. Okay, yes, I love this idea. I'm very excited.
All right, well, let's start with Alyssa. I think I put these in alphabetical order by the juror. So let's start with Alyssa. Liana, do you want to describe the painting that Alyssa's made? Actually, I'll say, if you go to bit.ly/artorfartbb23, you can take a look at these photos as well. Can you describe, though, for people not following along, the picture that Alyssa has made?
Yes. So she is commemorating her micro cocktail veto win. And she has a purple background and the stack of all of the little teeny tiny cocktails in a pyramid shape in the main center of the canvas. She also labeled it, which I appreciate, micro cocktail. So I know exactly what she's referring to. And she's also drawn the little teeny tiny veto that you win from winning the micro cocktails.
Yeah, I always find it interesting that some people take this art assignment very liberally, right? Some like to draw just generally random things. Some like to draw big moments from the game. And this was Alyssa's, really her like only competition win, right? Because the other one was when Kylan threw that veto to her in OTEV. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that she acknowledged it. She saved herself one more day in the game, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's cute. It's topical, you know, right? It's Big Brother. The only thing that's weirding me out is the tiny veto. I don't know. There's just something weird about it. I don't know why. It's like the necklace part is too circular or there's, I don't know. No, I like that.
It looks like a hoop with the veto hanging from it. Like, it doesn't look like the necklace. I think maybe it's too round to be the what goes around the neck.
Right. Yeah, there's just something off and something about the way that it connects to the necklace. So I'm going to have to dock her a few points here. But in general, I like this. I don't know if I would personally hang it in my home, but I think that this is a good souvenir for her to have to take home to commemorate her win in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, I'll art it as well. Plus, I like the typefacing on the micro as well, like very much like a Miami Vice nightclub style.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's definitely, I don't know how she did that, especially if she couldn't have a guide to do it from, like, that's impressive.
I don't know, maybe they gave him rulers in the jury house, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps.
All right, let's move on here to Brittany. And like Brittany, the person, there's a lot going on here. So I will try to describe it here. So she has the word Joker, each of which is written in a different color, each letter. She has what looks like two cards on either side, yellow cards. One says BB and one says 23. Up in the left corner, there is also what I'm assuming is the logo for, I think it's Syracuse University or Skidmore, wherever she went to, where she recently graduated from. And then there's a picture of what I'm going to assume is her. Maybe it's a picture of like a queen from a playing deck of cards riding a bike and around a bunch of colorful triangles. And then also there's the other Syracuse logo in the bottom right corner upside down. So I guess it's also to be like a playing card within a playing card.
Definitely that's what the Syracuse logo is for, right? So that's the I get those vibes there. I don't know why it also has what I assume to be playing cards on it, right? The card within a card, game within a game, you know, style. But I am obsessed with this. And let me tell you why. The face on Brittany / the Joker, whatever that thing is, it is equally mesmerizing and terrifying to me. Like, that thing is going to kill me in my sleep and smile while it does it. It's something with the eyes, that it's the round circle with the dot right in the middle, and the smile that is not overtly friendly, but is like creepy friendly. Mm-hmm, and then the fact, the way its legs bend around the bicycle where there appears to be no seat, it is very confusing. There is something about this that I just love so much. Like, when I say that it's creepy, I say that in the best way possible. This is the type of thing that I would post all around our house, and Puyo would be like, please stop posting this creepy face all over our home.
Yeah, it definitely is something you would see on some sort of child's toy that is meant to inspire whimsy, but instead inspires terror. And so from that, I might need to fart it because it's making me poop my pants with how scared it is. Why is it riding a bike?
I don't know.
I don't want it to be ambular and moving towards me.
It reminds, there's some webcomic though that it looks like. The style looks so similar, and I can't find it, what I'm thinking of, but I'm for sure arting this. I'm obsessed with it. I love all the little triangle, like colorful things at the bottom too. Oh my gosh, it's so weird. I'm obsessed.
I love it. There's just so much going on. I'll also say, really heartwarming moment from Brittany at the finale, revealing her autism diagnosis. Even if she wasn't standing in the light, she brought a lot of light to it.
Oh my, Julie, sit down. I've been like, oh, that memorable moment. Well, you should have been sitting. I mean, you should have been sitting.
You're not standing in God's light.
Yeah. God doesn't shine down on you.
All right, let's move on to Claire Bear, though she did not draw a bear, Liana. What did Claire paint? Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, get it together, Claire. Yeah, she, you know, being the super fan that she is, went with the jacked jellyfish and has the, you know, the big arms, the getting pumped up, the OTEV, you know, of it all. I really like this. I think this is something that could go in. If I had three pictures that sort of like my big brother homage, I want something that's still kind of cute, artsy, but not so overtly big brother. This is something I would pick. I think the eyes with the eyebrows are really cute, so I'm gonna art this.
I can't remember, does OTEV the jack jellyfish not have any legs?
Well, I think he's sitting on like a platform or something.
I mean, he always skips leg day because he doesn't have any.
I mean, yeah, never skip tentacle day. Yeah, so he's got abs, but then he just has a bunch of little tentacles sort of floating down.
Yeah, I'll art this as well. And I think this is perfect for Claire, right? A super duper fan to her heart, to the point where she ends up making a Steve reference in the round table, which I am obsessed with.
Yeah, that was so great.
I feel like the Big Brother itself has forgotten about Steve. Like, I remember when they did that like winner's round table at one point for Celebrity Big Brother or something. Steve wasn't included in that, was he?
I don't remember. I haven't seen him in a while. He's just like off living his best life.
Yeah, and he's still watching though. Like he was obsessed with Davon being on Big Brother 22. But yeah, it just seems like Steve sort of moved on from everything, so they couldn't really give him the call to swing by LA. But this is a great thing. Of course, Claire would be obsessed with the fact that she was got to see OTEV, and I think she participated in it as well. So she wants to make reference to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very fitting. And this is something that, do they get to keep these?
As opposed to what? Like, are they going to auction off the art?
Yeah, that's better than what my first thought was, which was burn them. So yeah.
Sorry, you can't take that home. We got a nice spot for that in the fireplace.
Yeah, it would be like, no, the therapy drawings get burnt. Look, I think she's going to, assuming that she could take it home, I think this is something that she'll keep, right? It's just definitely a memorabilia from her time, much like Alyssa.
All right, well, let's move on. Speaking of admiring a lost time.
Yeah, this is so weird. Can you explain this to me? Because it's definitely Travis, right? Like Derek.
Yeah,
okay.
So Derek X has painted Travis.
Okay.
Standing next to a surfboard. Again, yeah. I do not think he surfs. He just lives in Hawaii, people. But it's a red and yellow surfboard that has the letters DFP 77 to 716. I'm not sure what DFP stands for. It sounds like some sort of dirty acronym.
Yeah, I was racking my brain. I was like, okay, Derek. But what part is Travis? Like, what's Travis's last name?
Travis's last name. That is a great question. I do not think any of those letters are a part of it.
Yeah, it's DFP. Derek.
Travis's last name is Long.
Oh, okay.
DFP Long.
DFPL. Derek Fabulous Player, but then why are the dates 77 to 716?
Wait, could that be an A? Is he trying to say America's favorite player?
Oh,
maybe
AFP. But then, so are those the dates that Travis was in the house? 77?
Yeah, because they moved. I think the season started on July 7th.
It's like he died. It's so he died, dude. It's so sad.
I think you know what really died, not just Travis's spirit, but his face, considering that he drew a portrait of Travis that is missing any facial features whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, you know, he's like, oh, I can't remember what his face actually looks like.
Yeah. I remember more the concept of Travis rather than what his face looks like.
Yeah. Hey, it's artistic. I will say, though, the Travis part looks pretty good. And I like the way that he sort of circumvented having to draw hands, which, as we all know, hands are one of the hardest things to draw apparently by like shoving them.
Apparently so are faces, according to Derek X.
It's face blindness. OK,
I might fart weird. This because I still don't know what DFP stands for, even if that's a D.
I zoomed in and I don't see AFP. It doesn't look like an A.
So what could it
maybe
be?
Maybe it's his business. What's Travis's business called?
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, we read his book once upon a time. Travis Long.
Oh! let's see. DocForce? VP of Global Sales at DocForce?
DocForce!
Yeah, DocForce.
Oh, of that's course we know Travis's career on the docks of Hawaii.
DocForce documentation period done period is the description on LinkedIn.
Okay.
What businesses need documentation? Software, hardware, services, all types of businesses need all types of documentation. Why am I picturing Travis like part of his pitch is he just walks up and shoves paper at you and like
but he doesn't have a face of like you don't need a face to sell paper.
Yeah, not here at DocForce.
Not here at DocForce. Maybe he tried to spell RIP and he just completely bungled it.
Really badly. All right.
Well, let's move on from DFP. So whatever that might mean. Let's head off to the next doc here. Liana, what did Chada paint?
Okay, this one, I know what this one says. So Chada has this, I think I can read what it says. So she has this, you know, pink sort of textured background, and on top of it is a gleaming HOH key. And on the HOH key, it says HOH 23, and underneath in quotes, it says, "Who wants to see my HOH room?" Which I have to imagine, since she never got to win HOH, this is her HOH key, right?
Right. She didn't get to come in and go the da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
She didn't get to do that whole thing. I love the typography on it, that it's "Who wants to," and then "See my" are in such small font, and then "HOH room" are in giant letters. It reminds me of the John Mulaney bit about writing the happy birthday sign, right? Where you're like, big ass H! Big ass A, and then you realize as you get to the end that you have no room for the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like you ran out of space. Like, all right, we're gonna have to crunch this a little bit. That's cute. It's kind of sad, but it's cute, I guess.
Yeah, like, I think it's simple but cute, which is how I would describe Chada. So I think I'd art it as well.
Yeah. I love her slippers, her little fuzzy slippers here. These are really cute.
Like I said, best dress in the house. She knows her style.
Stand by it.
All right. Oh boy. How am I going to describe this one?
It's like a Jackson Pollock.
Jackson, aka Mickey Pollock. So this is Kylan's. I mean, it's literally just splatter art. It's colorful diarrhea on a page that, of course, Kylan would paint because Kylan thinks this is artsy and it's important and it evokes more meaning than anything that anyone is able to do. It's nothing and everything at the same time.
I was going to ask you what you think the title he titled this painting, because the only thing I can think of is like death on a Sunday afternoon.
No, it would be like the concept of death. But is that living? What is living if death doesn't exist to it? It's just like the continual title that never ends.
Yeah, with several colons in there. Mediocrity, like exemplified something. Did he sign it? Yeah, he did sign it.
Oof, he signed it?
I think so. It's in that bottom right-hand corner.
Let me see.
It's got 20. Oh, I see 2021, and I think it's his initials right before. So this is a Kylan original, people.
He really missed out, though, not painting a still life of Goku.
Oh, that would have been so great. Yeah, at least it's not a picture of Xavier with like an X drawn through it, you know?
I still cannot legitimately believe I talked to a reality TV contestant who, with his full chest, said, "Xavier and I talked about a lot of people we admire, like Kobe Bryant and Goku."
I'm telling you, it's a Mad Lib. Someone filled this out. Like, yeah, all right, and give me a fictional character. What?
I just, oh my God. I love it that he's like, man, I thought we would play like that anime character, but we're not. How dare you not live up to the standards of this fictional man?
Oh, man. That is how I should measure the moral standards of everyone else around me. I'm just going to pick a fictional character and run with it. Look, I'll say this is art. I don't want something made by Kylan, though. I just feel like it's going to have some bad juju. So I'm going to fart it, even though I would say this is sort of like the most conceptual art piece of the bunch.
That's the thing, is that I think as a piece of art, I would obviously most want this to hang up in my home, because I don't want my guests to continuously ask me, what does DFP mean? Why does that man not have a face? Who is that weird, creepy, staring woman on the bike? But that being said, because this like represents everything Kylan is, mm-hmm. I sort of have to fart it as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, very much that vibe. Is this the highest resolution pictures that you could find?
Yeah, these are ones off of Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I hope he is not listening. I'm going to print out that like little Joker character and stick them all over the house. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. The Jokers are going to be all over you. This is Frenchie's dream come true.
I know, right? Okay. Sarah Beth, we have to talk about, because she painted... This is actually really good of DX,
yeah.
And it says the Lord of the Latrine, but like, why?
Well, it's interesting because I will admire the actual craftsmanship from it. Like, I know Sarah Beth was someone who was like a seamstress. She made a lot of her cosplay. I did not realize she was also very graphically talented as well. Like, she drew that portrait of Derek X is actually really well done and probably the best thing we're going to encounter over the course of this exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, she drew hands and they're like, she got them. She nailed it. The texture on the outfit, it looks so good. And the way that she layered it over the sort of big block lettering, Lord of the Latrine, she did not run out of space. She spaced it perfectly.
The question, though, to go back to it is why? And I agree. Why? Because the Lord of the Latrine was not her punishment, though I guess maybe the reason why is if we remember back during that week five, right, when she was on the block and it was the Yankee swap veto and mm-hmm. she did not grab the veto. And also when she had the $5,000 or something, she pleaded with Derek X to not take the money from her. He took the punishment. In another world, she would have been the Lord of the Latrine or the Lady of the Latrine. Maybe this is her sort of trying to pay it forward or acknowledge another what if universe.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Because I was trying to remember her connections. Like, I mean, it's not like her and DX were the best friends. But it's sort of the what could have been paying homage to the what could have been part of it all. Okay.
Yeah, or maybe, this was one of the only punishments that was actually referenced throughout the season. Maybe it's because it was just so damn funny. But I do find it interesting that everyone focused on the Lord of the Latrine, and we like forgot about when Kylan was the jackass, not as a person, but as a donkey, and Claire had to pick up all the cards. Like, this seems to be the one and only punishment that anyone will ever remember from Big Brother 23.
Oh my God, how did we not see that coming? He was literally a jackass. Oh man.
Well. So I'll art it as well for the craftsmanship alone. Here is Tiffany's, where Tiffany is standing in. So it looks like a red raincoat like Carmen Sandiego, but I think it's supposed to be a red HOH robe, wearing the key around her neck. And she is standing in front of gold text behind her that says, "Hi, America." And she's actually making the exact same pose that she is in the painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. At first I couldn't read what it said, so I was going to knock it. But then I saw her version of her, which I really liked. And with the arm, the hands out, just like, I thought that was very adorable. And she's got the braids. I think it's so good.
Yeah. I think that, listen, like a lot of stuff Tiffany touches, it's of a very good quality. Of course, some foibles here and there. But I actually do think she does a good job of painting herself, too. It really reminds me of like those murals that you see at a school in terms of the animation style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the big eyes, the very like cartoonish but still somewhat realistic.
She kind of looks like someone out of like the Magic School Bus.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what the animation style looks like. Oh, could you imagine her and Miss Frizzle just kicking back, hanging out, shrinking themselves down to go inside a puddle?
Yeah, I would love, I'd like teaching time with Tiffany in that regard. Like, I think Tiffany would be a fun Miss Frizzle.
Teaching time with Tiffany. Yeah, that's a class I would want to attend.
There's one more wild card I threw in here, Liana. You want to scroll down?
Oh, God. All right. I didn't realize that our very own Fessie Fitness was going to be making a debut here on Art or Fart. Okay. How do I describe this? So this is the artwork that I assume Fessie did in his season. Okay. Yeah. We didn't get a chance to discuss this in detail. Thank God. But Mike, unfortunately, has chosen to ruin my day with this. So he drew I think it's the ocean.
That's
I don't know.
A great sign of art is when you say, I think it's the ocean.
I think, is that supposed to be the sun behind it? What is that? What is that? It looks like I don't even know. I was gonna say a koos ball thing, like it's got the little like spiky things, but the little spiky things are nubs. They're very short nubbins. All right, this is my interpretation.
Ooh, could this be a COVID virus?
Oh, perhaps. Yeah, he was just ahead of the curve, the flattened curve.
Oh,
if you
Fessie
will.
Knew.
He knew. I mean, him, Fauci, come on, like the experts in immunology.
Who flipped? It was COVID.
Oh, gosh. All right. So I'm going to go with it's the sun rising over the ocean. Okay. Because I'm inferring that it's the sun based on he wrote in the ocean, which could be froth or whale semen, I don't know. Shine on them haters. So I think it's the sun that is shining on them haters.
Shine on them haters.
Oh, Mike, you actually, you know what? I gotta thank you. I have been looking for a new quote for my quote board, and yes. I think shine on them haters is the winner.
You
also,
can finally erase the Pauly Calafiori quote to stay crushing it. This is the new thing.
I can finally move on. It does look like shine or them haters, but I'm going to assume it's on.
Just no, I like the detour option. You can either shine or you can them haters.
If it's shine, okay, so yeah, you shine or them haters. Is that mean you are a hater? Like that? Ooh, shine or them haters?
Or is it vertically arranged? Is it shine them or haters?
Oh yeah, it's like one of those signs you can't tell what order you're supposed to go in.
Yeah,
shine exactly. Them or haters. Oh, that's better, because it's like shine them, like be nice, like that's what Julie was saying.
Ooh, yeah,
love
shine
everyone
on them or they're haters,
or yeah, you're gonna be a hater or haters. Shine them or haters.
Yeah, so beautiful. That is, listen, it's short, sweet and simple, but it is the motivational poster that I think everyone needs right now. Shine them or haters from the great Fessie. I'm assuming this is how Fessie reacts, like every time he does something stupid on the challenge.
Do you think they allowed him to bring this on the challenge? He sort of keeps it under his pillow, as he can always show it to himself whenever he's feeling down. Don't worry, Fessie.
Why doesn't he have merchandise? Why does he have like a sweatshirt line, right, that has this athleisure wear with this on the back?
Honestly, that's a great question. I would for sure buy a shine all or them shine them or haters hoodie. Oh god,
from that capacity, from that perspective, I've got to call this art, because this is what we've talked about the most, and isn't that what great art does?
I mean, art sparks conversation, and this did just that. So I completely agree. Take your little nubs, Fessie, and shine on them, haters.
And so I'm sorry we did not predict your pandemic predictions 2 years ago.
Yeah, our bad. Definitely our bad here. Oh gosh, all right. Okay, I gotta recover from laughing. So let's wrap things up with going back. Now, I know we did our predictions, but we have some superlatives to talk about, because I went back and I actually have a few superlative categories for us to talk about. First, I have our superlatives that we came up with, which were hilarious. I have superlatives given out by Big Brother, which we're going to play a game for. And then finally, I just have a few that I found from Casual's Corner. I wanted to dip my toes in and see what I could find. All right, so let's start with our superlatives. So we had a number of superlatives that we predicted at the beginning of the season. Mike, do you want to take a guess to say who we said for Rock a mandated costume? Who do you think?
Oh, God. All right, this is a fun game of try to remember what we said 3 months ago.
Yes.
Always the best thing for a podcaster. Rock a mandated costume. I feel like we said... I feel like it was probably like an Azza or a Hannah, right? Because of like the modeling glamour stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So I said Tara. Again, just Sarah.
Oh, right. Because of the cosplay. Yeah.
Yes. And you said Kyland also because of the police cosplay when he would sneak into Comic-Con. That should have been a warning. We should have focused more on that.
That was a red flag right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the fact that you're going to impersonate a cop at Comic-Con to, I don't know, get free stuff or whatever he said, like that, should have given it away. But yeah. For yelling in the DR, though, you did say Brittany. You thought that energy could translate, as well as Derek F. That was your other thought for yelling in the DR. And I went with Frenchie. Didn't get the dag gum, but
no, I mean, you got that. I think we were all pretty right on the volume there. Like, I don't think Derek F. was like a shouter, but he was definitely one of the more energetic people in there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. For crying first, who do you remember who you put for who would cry first?
I feel like I said Whitney because she'd be the first one to miss her kids, if I'm thinking correctly.
Yes, you did say that. You were also gave three answers, so cheating much. You said Whitney, Alyssa,
okay, listen,
and Hannah.
Categories, Liana, okay.
You should be able to give whatever. Anyway.
A Whitney.
A Hannah. Yeah, so, and then I also had a similar logic. I did say Whitney was one of my answers, but I think I said Brittany, that she would be overwhelmed by everything, and that the she would have the most emotion, like with both yelling and crying in the DR.
I think you were right on the money with that one. I think we got a lot of DR tears from her, unfortunately, due to the number of times she was nominated.
I think, though, you had it right with Alyssa, because didn't Alyssa have that one night, like that one of those first nights where she just wasn't feeling good and she was like crying and throwing up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like the feats came up on like Xavier comforting Alyssa, I believe. Now, it wasn't like a full Vanessa full on weeping Tammy Faye Baker style, but like I think Alyssa was getting very emotional.
I think so. Yeah, I think it was like she just got overwhelmed and then she kind of like got herself together. But all right, for break the have not punishment, who did you say?
Someone who values food. I feel like I said, oh boy, someone to break the food. Christian, or maybe, no, maybe Brent, like this idea of like, I got to get my gains. Your boy needs his meat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We were both like similar. I think I actually said Brent specifically. I did not say Brent. I said Champagne Man, which I believe refers to.
Oh, that should have been his superhero name.
I know. Champagne Man. And then you said Travis. For sort of similar logic.
Going with the meatheads.
Mm-hmm. Going for the meatheads.
We should also say, Big Brother, I know you're not listening. Get rid of have nots. Just get rid of them. No use building an extra room because you don't even focus on it anymore. You give up on them halfway through the season. Who is it for? Who is it for at all?
I have no idea. It's kind of one of those things that, well, we've always done it this way, so...
Yeah, don't make don't make Have Not Room be the Electoral College of Big Brother, okay?
Oh, well, you know, it's going to take a majority to overrule and just, I don't know, people don't want to vote for it. Okay, force a catchphrase was the next category. This one from you is absolutely hilarious because you listed the person who didn't even compete on this season. You said Christy.
Wait a minute. I have an objection here. Because I'm on Big Brother Twitter, and I saw several people say one of the most iconic parts of the season was that Instagram video of Christy describing herself as loud and then dancing to herself. I call that a catchphrase.
I mean, it's 1000% better than mine, which I said Travis, and I said that his catchphrase would be hang 23, like hang 10. Because again, surfer, obviously, Travis the surfer. Let's hang 23.
Hang 23. How many digits do you have?
Oh my, yeah, you, I think you said something similar about, or we're talking about people with 23 toes. Of course, I made the same joke
3 months later.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The next one was shenanigans on eviction night, slat, like compliment Julie, do long shout outs, whatever, which I guess every season they do long shout outs, but it felt like this season in particular just had so many shout outs.
Well, and we know that the winner of this has to be Big D, right? Because of the votes. Like, that was the biggest shenanigans on eviction night.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hands down. I mean, that was everybody, you know, like Puyi and I would wait and be like, oh, he goes up to vote. Be like, okay, does he say it right? Is he going to say it right this time? Compilation videos. So very much that. You said Brittany because of the family shout outs. And I said Christy. So that one went well.
Shout out to my COVID test.
Yeah. Oh, ouch. She said her favorite player was Haley, and that was why, because I thought she might compliment
you. Oh, yeah, ravishing. Yeah. You look ravishing tonight.
Mm, yeah. All right. Most likely to eat cereal, aka doesn't do anything on the feeds. You're going to love your answer. Do you remember who you said?
Did I say Tiffany?
Yeah. Literally the person doing the most.
Listen, once again, she did not give that much in the preseason. I apologize. I could never be happier to be wrong about this.
And your logic was also, I mean, the thing is, like, again, totally see where you were coming from. She didn't give us much in the preseason bio. Short answer is not that much there. So definitely get that. My logic, much weirder. I said Christian, and then I said that he like only had one girlfriend, and for some reason that was part of the logic of why I thought he would be boring on feeds. I do not understand.
Girlfriend? Does he have a girly girlfriend?
A girly girl. Maybe that's why he attached to Alyssa so much. It was like his second girlfriend. He was super excited about it.
Who? I guess we haven't gone through and said like who actually earns these superlatives, but who do you think actually gets it for this season? Like, was it Whitney?
That's tough because I felt like Whitney only had a couple weeks in the house. So it's tough to say that it was her. I mean, yeah, it's not like she was the most electric while she was on feeds. But I mean, from doing the morning updates, the people that I would be the most bored by, probably Azza. Sorry, Azza. She just kind of laid in the bed the whole time.
Yeah, and Azza really didn't get a lot of notice until like the last 2 weeks of the season, right? When she really boned herself in that regard. I would say maybe Alyssa as well. Mm-hmm. Like, she had that first week stuff and the stuff going on with Christian, but like, I can't remember many DRs from Alyssa in particular.
Yeah, that's true. Because, what? It was like a really entertaining first week, and then it just felt like she really sort of dropped off the radar and wasn't relevant. Really. I mean, part of it was because I think she got lumped into the Kings as a group. Yeah. Sort of like that group operated together. But yeah. All right. Well, who do you think we said to form a large alliance, like form the mega alliance of the season?
I feel like we had to say Frenchie, right?
Yeah, you said Frenchie, and you also said Azza would be your two options, which, I mean, what was the name of Frenchie's alliance? The Detonators? No, that's wrong.
No, there was the Slaughterhouse, and then there were about 15 different iterations of the Butchers.
Oh, the Butchers. Yes, that's what it was. Oh my gosh, remember those days? Wow. I said Hannah because I thought that she said something about wanting to set herself up for several weeks, and so that was kind of the logic. Behind that.
But. Yeah, because I remember my thing with Frenchie, right, was that like he was the big fan of the show, and so he knew that that's what he had to do in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that sounds about right. Okay, this one, I think we knocked out of the park to who we said would be thirsted over during the day one toast. So you said Alyssa, which I believe actually happened.
I mean, slash the entire season, if you consider Xavier.
Yeah. Exactly. And then I, as a partner to Alyssa, said Xavier. So I feel good about that one.
Yeah, you in particular thirsting after Xavier and feeling bad for Puya as you were doing so.
Yes, indeed. That did happen. And I don't know if you remember this as well, but you referred to him as the man meat of the season. So
I mean, I guess I was wrong, because like ultimately all that standing went to DX. I feel like people are now saying that DX was the man meat of the season.
That's true. I would say if one person is going to walk away with the title of man meat, it's definitely going to be DX, because, you know, close to being America's favorite player, thirsted over, rooted for a good chunk of the season.
Shipped into a relationship that he was not in at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's classic man meat behavior. All right. Who do we think is going to lie about their job?
I think I said Xavier, right?
Yeah, we both said Xavier and Sarah. So. Nailed it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. All right.
But did we predict that Brittany would lie about being a third degree black belt?
That I do not think we said anywhere that it would be something that you would want to hide. But kudos to her for keeping that a secret the whole season. Okay. Most likely to call a house meeting.
Ooh. Well, there weren't any. So that's a tough call for the reality. But I think I said, obviously I didn't pick Claire because she didn't exist at that point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brent?
You said Azza.
What? What?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't what even are you understand doing, July your logic Mike? When you said it. I don't know what July Mike was on. Certainly not
July Mike. Yes. Oh, that was July Mike. I can't speak for his actions.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking. Well, July Liana said Kyland because he talks so much, which seemed to be my takeaway of Kyland.
Well,
was just
he did hold a lot of meetings. They were just one-on-one house meetings.
That's true. I mean, technically, yes, it was the whole house just separated out into piece by piece.
I love nothing more when you and Taryn did that first recap of Kylan's HOH week, and you were talking about like how cool it was for him to do the one-on-one meetings and like the limited set of questions. And then he wins and does the exact same thing. And people are like, okay, it's not really cool anymore.
Yeah, we're over that now. Because the thing was, is like why it was so beneficial that first week is because the first week was the most chaos, right? Because French was all over the place. Everybody was saying all these things. It was so confusing. It was almost like, all right, we need to sit down and take stock of where we're at. And it made sense at the time, I think. So, all right. Last one is volunteer as a pawn. You said, would you like to take a guess?
Oh, boy, I do not know. I'm going to say Hannah?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at you. Look at you go.
Yeah, yeah I guess I go with like the youthful impetuousness, right? Of like, oh, she doesn't know any better. She's just going to want to, you know, she's going to want to impress herself on other people.
Mm-hmm. It was, yes, it was that. And then the fact that if she could use that as a bargaining chip to be safe the following weeks. That was kind of the logic behind
which
it.
Which she sort of did with the Christian stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so. If you squint, they look the same, right? I said Azza for the same reasons that I put in my prediction.
You were right on the money. If she had gotten her way, she would have indeed had herself be put up as a pawn back in that week.
I know, right? I can't believe she did that. But you know what? Good for her. All right. So those are the superlatives that we came up with. So Big Brother from the CBS Big Brother Twitter account released their own superlatives. So I'm going to read you a superlative and you have to, quickest first name that comes to mind, the name of the person. Yes.
Okay.
Some extremely obvious, others I had no memory of. So
all right,
let's get into this. Most likely to be wearing a bucket hat.
Oh, Xavier.
Ding. All right. Most charming.
Oh, most charming. Derek X.
Ding. Yes. Oh, my God. You're doing so good. Okay. Most likely to rock clothing made of toilet paper.
Oh, Alyssa with the toilet paper mummy.
Yes. Which they put pictures of all of them. And of course, you know, Xavier's is him in a bucket hat. Derek X's is his charming smile. And then poor Alyssa's completely wrapped in toilet paper while Kylan talks to her.
Of course. Like, you know, she was there for a while.
Yeah, poor girl. And I remember it was her birthday also, which is what made that moment like so much more hilarious. Okay, most likely to be a comp beast.
Oh, Kylan?
Close. Christian.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? Most likely to make an airplane joke.
Brent, it's Brent Champagne, but like, Big Brother, this is like you hitting yourself on the hand. You're the one that gave him those jokes.
I know. And not gonna lie, the fact that everything they did, they referenced about him, had to do with planes, right? Like, his comic book had to do with planes. This had to do with planes. That is the only thing that production remembers about him, I'm telling you.
Wait, remember when your comic book name for Brent was that he had like a plane for a face?
Is that what it was?
I think it was, right?
It was like, oh yeah, it was like Brent, instead of Boeing 737 or something, it yeah. was like Brent 737 and he's just a plane. Yeah, like Thomas the Tank Engine, but it's yeah. Brent as a plane. Oh gosh. So yeah, me also, apparently. Me same falls under that category. Okay, most likely to win a memory comp.
Oh, Hannah?
Sarah Beth, apparently.
Oh, well, I guess she did get the one with the paint, so I guess that counts.
Yeah, that one wild card.
I guess I was thinking apparently. More so of like the trivia ones, less so about, oh, remember this thing.
Right, that's what I thought too. And then but it's not like there was one person who dominated all those comps, so, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I guess that's all they had for. All right, best masseuse.
Ooh. What? Yeah. Best masseuse? Who's giving massages? I was going to say Christian. Is it Tiffany?
Once you hear this name, please inform me, because Whitney is the person that they said was the best masseuse. No memory, both on the show, on the feeds. I got nothing.
I mean, it's clear they didn't either.
Okay.
I guess there was a thing where Whitney gave Xavier a couple of massages. Like Googled it. Whitney gives Kylan a shoulder massage. Whitney gives Xavier a hand massage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I chose to block that from my memory then, because I do not remember. But now that you're saying it, that sounds somewhat familiar.
Yeah. If you massage the man meat, you know, you tend to get pleasure out of it.
I mean, sometimes you use your hands, sometimes you use your clam. It just all around the board.
Not your hot clam.
Not the hot clam chowder. Okay, what was it? Scooping up a scoop of hot clam? No, what was?
I do not think it was scooping up a scoop of hot clam. I believe it was. Now let me take a look at this stupid comic. It is serving up some hot clam chowder.
Ah, yes. Okay. So, yeah, mine was close, but not quite. All right. Did I already read this one? Well, now I can't remember.
We started with massage. That was the last one we did.
Okay.
Oh, you would
right,
not
great.
Win the memory comp one. That's for sure.
No. Okay. Well, who do you think they said is most likely to be underestimated?
What? I guess Hannah?
Okay, yes, which is why I got confused in my brain as to how I got to chatta, because hot chatta. Is it hot chow?
Chatta.
Chatta. Like, it is, like, you say it like her last name. Okay, you don't, yeah. like, combine chowder and... Okay, all right, great. Yes, she was most likely to be underestimated, which I assume that's based on Kylan's comment, the fact that she was the same as Big D, I don't know. All right, most likely to become a ninja.
What? Most likely to become a ninja.
Yes.
What? Ninja? Ninja? Ninja?
Most likely to become a ninja.
Oh, God. Travis?
Brittany, dude.
Oh!
Apparently you also forgot about her secret.
I was just so well kept.
You never would have known.
I think I just said ninja so much the word lost all meaning and I forgot what a ninja did.
Ah, ninja,
I'm like,
please.
I'm like,
yeah.
Enzo, night moves. Yo, night moves, yo.
I forgot about that. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're almost there. Most compassionate.
Oh, God, that's something you want. Most compassionate. Asa?
Claire.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yep. So that was a thing that happened. All right. How about this one? Most likely to promise you safety.
Oh, most would that be Derek? No, Derek X was already most charming. I'm assuming it's one per customer. Oh, Frenchie. Okay. This makes
sense. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Of course. The classic Frenchie. Okay. Best birthday lap dance.
Oh, that's Travis. That's the one thing that he's known for besides the Paul Rudd speech that everyone has copied up to this point.
Yes, that is correct. And it's hilarious because the photo that they chose is him kind of throwing his hair back, shirtless, doing the dance for Kylan. And you can see Big D in the background, jaw drop, mouth open. It's so funny. Okay, most likely to win HOH.
Kylan, I guess.
Yes, yes, that one is Kylan.
Kind of a lame superlative.
We also
have most likely to be a competition beast. How is there a difference?
This is the subsection, the subcategory of most likely to win HOH, apparently. All right, the best singer.
Oh, Azza.
Yes, that one's Azza. The best impressionist.
Tiffany, right? Because she did the impression of Frenchie and everybody else.
That is correct. And finally, we have most likely to take a nap.
Oh, I wonder who that could be. And now is the picture of Big D, him taking a nap?
Indeed, with his sunglasses on. So that fits your prediction from earlier.
Yes, with the fight that he's about to start.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, so that's apparently that's what Big Brother values for each of their contestants. So take that. With a grain of salt, take it as you will. I have three from Casuals Corner.
God, Liana, you actually went in there for this?
I did. I ventured in there because they had these BB superlatives post in the Facebook group, and I wanted to see if there were any interesting comments because it was like, oh, what do you think the superlative should be? Most of them were comments that I dare not read out loud, but there were a few that I thought were really funny. So this one was for Big D, most likely to not be able to say I vote to evict when it's time to do so.
Okay. I mean, it's a very niche one, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he would get it like every year running.
Yeah. This one also for Big D was hilarious, which I'm sure Julie would also approve of. Most likely to believe that he gave Moses the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, this is Julie. Is this one of Julie's burner accounts?
Yeah, exactly. She thinks she's making a really funny joke. Or she'd be offended at it. I don't know. I can't tell. She seems like a chill, like fun-loving Christian, so I think she'd be all right with it. All right, and then the last one is for Kylan. Most likely to be a dick when being evicted.
I mean, yes. Ooh, should we make a portmanteau? Should we do addicted?
Ooh,
no, now that sounds like addicted.
Yeah, no. Also,
homonyms.
Right. When being addicted. No. Yeah, it doesn't work. You can't put a different emphasis on it and have it work out differently.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's cute. I like that they got some superlatives in that throw shade at these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I'm happy that they can take their shots when they want to. All right. That does it for the superlatives. Wow, Mike, we did it.
Yeah. Who'd have thought, huh?
Not me.
What do you think overall about this season, Liana? Like, I know that right now, you know, we have 23 seasons of Big Brother. Is this what, like, top third, middle third, bottom third? What do you think about it overall, given the sort of up and down nature we've experienced throughout the season?
I mean, I would probably say top third, maybe lower on the top third ranking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have fond memories of the season. The first couple of weeks were complete chaos. It was fun to sort of watch the middle of the season shape out to know whether or not is the cookout going to make it? Are they going to be able to pull this off? And to see that come to fruition and have our first, you know, black winner from a regular non-celebrity.
It's okay,
season.
They're both on Mount Rushmore.
Exactly. Thank you, Julie. I think it's definitely one for the history books, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of in this new era of Big Brother how things change moving forward.
Yeah, I would put it probably like bottom of the top third, or maybe top of mm-hmm. the middle third. Like, yeah. There's a lot of good stuff here. Again, I'm someone who watches reality TV and enjoyment is predicated upon like the cast and the storytelling. It's tough to do storytelling on Big Brother, but the cast I really do feel is excellent. I know some people feel like they were a little too polished, that there wasn't enough, you know, drag out drama, but we sort of can't have our cake and eat it too sometimes with Big Brother. You know, BBCan9 is a good example of people who are willing to start drama, but are not necessarily problematic. Mm-hmm. BBUS is still learning. You know, I think mm-hmm. they swayed in a different direction, but I do really like this group overall, so much so that they earn their own superlative. So I really enjoy getting to watch them, even if the weeks became stagnant at certain points. And I will say we had a really entertaining first third. Like, the pre-jury stuff was really interesting, beginning with the Frenchie, like the rise and fall of Frenchie, the entire clowning on Brent week, mm-hmm. and then ending with the big Christian blindside, which still might be one of the biggest cutthroat moves of the season, I think was a really fun pre-jury. And then, you know, the post-jury stuff, it was a little tougher to watch, especially if you were a fan of people outside the cookout, to watch these people get snowed by their plus ones, you could tell was tough for them. And like we talked about, the end of the cookout was surprisingly dramatic, when it really shouldn't have been, to be quite mm-hmm. honest. And so I think it shakes out to a pretty good season. Look, I definitely think it was a step up from BB22, but that's not saying much. I would say a step up overall from BB21, maybe on the level of something like a BB20. I still think there are some problems with the formula. I mean, another big day one alliance does go on to dominate. Again, probably in a different way than something like the committee did last year. I think what they do here is incredibly impressive, but I think between all the twists that they throw in, like the BB Bucks, for example, the just length of time a season takes, like, there are still issues with Big Brother US, but we've mm-hmm. sort of checked one box from my perspective. We've checked off casting. I think the way the casts are going now, it's a really fun group. I'm hoping next time now we bring in maybe some more wild card personalities to help balance out maybe that drama conflict side of things, while also not maintaining the problematic aspect of it. But I gotta say, overall, I had a good enjoyment of Big Brother 23. It was a fun way to spend the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Because there were definitely some bits and moments where I kind of faded out in the past couple weeks. But I think that has more to do with the length of the show. Like, I put that on production. I don't put that on the cast, because what are they going to do? You know what I mean? You're down to a few people, right? It's not like and a lot of things are already set in stone. It's not like you're going to be changing your mind. So I can't really be that mad about it. I would say, all in all, I had a really good time this season. And another BB season is in the books.
Yeah, and only a few months until BB comes back in the form of Celebrity Big Brother. I'm still shocked this is happening. But I guess once I sort of found out, when the shock wiped off my face, that they were going up against the Winter Olympics, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. This is like their coverage thing.
Mm-hmm, right. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. That makes sense. Because then when they said they were in February, I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I guess that's the slot that they're trying to fill.
Okay. Yeah, which probably means that for Survivor fans, we're probably looking at a Survivor 42 premiere in March, I would imagine. So that's a little bit of a whiles away. But yeah, who knows? You know what? The world is full of mysteries. It's full of oceans telling you to shine on them, haters. Maybe we'll be back covering Celebrity Big Brother. Who the heck knows? For now, you know, we always do our charity corner thing. If it's all right with you, Liana, I'd like to shout something out in particular that I actually got a little bit of involvement with this past week.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
So I had the opportunity and the pleasure of getting to interview Survivor legend Ethan Zahn. Now, Liana and I are recording this on September 30th, and September was Blood Cancer Awareness Month. Ethan, of course, went through several bouts of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, of some pretty scary stats. Apparently, someone is diagnosed with lymphoma every 5 minutes, about 110,000 people a year. And so Ethan has partnered with the Lymphoma Research Foundation, which works to advance research and treatments for lymphoma. He's recently given some speeches. Again, Blood Cancer Awareness Month also, I think, was able to really highlight the causes and why it's important to support that. Look, in this time, now more than ever, I think the medical community has shown how far things can come with the proper initiative and funding. And so if you want to be a part of that funding and help fund some lymphoma research, you can go to lymphoma.org. It is that simple. LYMPHOMA.org. You can see a big red donate button there to help make sure that, you know, Ethan was very lucky with what the treatment he was able to get to survive. A lot of people aren't. And making a gift and being able to help make this research possible will hopefully make sure that a lot of people live to survive this terrible, terrible disease.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you know me, I will always support causes like this, especially those that give funding to researchers. Like, I know how hard it is to get money to help to advance science. And so being able to support causes like this directly impact the people who are affected by these types of diseases.
So, Liana, that's going to do it for the B&B for BB23. I know that we were a bit sparse with our coverage, especially compared to what we did with BB22, but I thought it was fun to come back every few weeks and like check in, right? This is like the simmering pot on the stove and be like, oh yeah, how's it going? Oh yeah, the water's boiled. Great. Let's throw the pasta in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was really fun. And I thought the way that you recapped the different phases of the game was quite apt and sort of mirrored our coverage as well. So obviously we're geniuses. Mm-hmm. And Big Brother seasons are always such a mess. And the B&B is the perfect place, of course, for mess.
All right. So if you're looking for more B&B action, though we may be done with Big Brother, we are far from done from packing up the B&B for 2021. In fact, we are just getting started here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups covering Survivor 41. This past week, we had some familiar faces for BB recaps. We had Kirsten McGinnis and Maggie Morgan on to recap the double-length premiere episode of Survivor 41. This time, we're having on the Survivor Quizmaster himself, Jordan Kalish. Hell of a social game, that Jordan Kalish. Keeps us entertained with so many games and quizzes.
I'm sorry, but that sounded like Jordan gave you a promo to read for himself, the marketing genius he is.
No, of course not. Let me just drag this document to the trash. Okay, yeah, there we go.
And done.
Yeah, so Jordan's going to be on next week. Of course, we're going to be bringing on many guests over the course of the season, including some familiar faces. So if you're a Survivor fan and you haven't checked out our B&B stuff, definitely do so. We stay just as goofy. We played Scattergories last week. It was a really fun time. Liana, outside of that, what else do you have going on podcast-wise, and how can people keep up with you on social media to find out all about it?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am podcasting about The Masked Singer. Puya and I are getting together every week, of course, to break down what's happening with The Masked Singer Season 6. We premiered Group B this past week. And so Puya and I actually before this recorded. So that should hopefully be out soon to cover all of the new, I was going to say faces, but I should probably just say masks because there's no faces there, which is always really fun. And then, yeah, as Mike highlighted, doing the Survivor coverage for the B&B.
Do you think there will be a costume one time that's called the Travis and it's Derek X's picture of Travis with no face?
Holding a surfboard, as we all know.
That's the clue. DFP. What does it mean?
Ooh, yeah. It's just like a version of the Masked Singer. Oh, man, I should have gotten it. Oh,
wow. I know next exactly time. Who this is. And you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. At this point, I am very, very tired because I've spent the past 24 hours interviewing these Big Brother 23 contestants, including Xavier, Azza, Big D. I talked to Tiffany again as well in response to her winning America's Favorite Player. I would also recommend you go back and read that Kyland interview if I do say so myself, because it is fairly wild. If you know the attitude he had last night of just not backing down from what he did, he doubles or even triples down in doing that here. So be sure to check that out. I'm also doing exit press for Survivor, covering some last minute stuff for Survivor South Africa. I covered The Circle as well, which also wrapped up its coverage on the exact same day as Big mm-hmm. Brother, which is wild. I interviewed all the finalists there. And all the Lost and X-Files stuff as well. Plenty of stuff going on at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter is where it is all housed and pimped out. I want to thank everybody for coming on. There's a lot of Big Brother coverage. And like Liana said, it was such a long season that I could completely imagine somebody saying, I'm done with Big Brother. Like, I don't need to worry about it. Season's over. Confetti fell, etc. So if you took the time to listen to 2 hours of us talking about the end of the season, we greatly appreciate it, as we always do. If you have any game ideas, again, this is going to be more so for Survivor than it is for Big Brother, because we won't be back for quite some time. Write into us, rhapbnb@gmail.com or hashtag rhapbnb on Twitter. The letter B, the letter N, the letter B. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. We'll be back for cover some Big Brother season in the future. TBD, we're covering Survivor for now, though our plates are very full. Thank you for listening. Love each other, and we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. To your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.